On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Just so you'll know, we have been streaming admirably since the end of airtime last night. And we're streaming admirably all the way up to 5:52 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time when the buffering began. Thus far, we're into the program and I haven't seen any buffering, so we will keep our little old fingers and toes just all kinds of crossed, right? Let me make this announcement on the front end. The Horn Molloy Skype chat group that we ordinarily engage for purposes of Friday on the Front Porch conversation, which this is, it's the second day of May 2014, and it is Friday on the Front Porch, the final broadcast of the the young first week of May. I've just run a speed test on our speed test on our connection, and it seems to be more than adequate. So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, the is open now, and it has 7 folks in it. That means there's room for about 13 more people. And if you would like to get in there so as in case we start having another of our buffer fests this evening, you will remain connected at all times because nothing else shuts down except the streamer and the connection to the stream server. So if you want to get in, if you want to sit in, you don't even have to talk. Just mute your mic and you'll just have unimpeded audio. Just send a contact request, if you never have before, to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, on Skype, and we'll get you comfortably added to the Horn Molloy Skype chat group forthwith. If you want to just hang out, of course, the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room is always available for you. It's right there at, okay, Isaac wants to know what the stream speeds were. We get 5 megs down and 1 meg up. And when I just now checked with everything going on and no buffering, we were at 5 megs down and 0.88 up. So 0.12 was going somewhere. Thanks for asking, Isaac. Anyway, the Horn Molloy Skype chat group is open. So, too, is the chat room, even when it buffers up. Even when the stream buffers up, the chat room never goes down, and I seem never to leave it. So that's available to you as well. Enjoy the horn. Enjoy the news stories and so forth that are there. I've been remiss in my duties the last couple of days in posting stories, but hopefully I can get around to posting some stuff sooner rather than later. Been a beautiful day here in Mount Snowbegone. It was a lovely afternoon. No, not going to do that. But at any rate, maybe spring is finally here. Maybe May Day ushered it in. And, of course, this being the second day of May, we will sort of clear out the stacks of stuff that we didn't get to during the week. and you're welcome to share in that conversation. I'm proud to announce that we have, I'm pretty sure we've had a Nazi-free couple of weeks, and that's pretty exciting. I know that the entire Horn family, many of whom have been writing to me, will be pleased to, are pleased about that. So, you know, enjoy. Where to start? Well, I want to start with a note from our buddy Scott, that's spelled R Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, Scott in Sweden. That's because that's how he spells it. He heard last night's program and sent me a note this morning, because participating from Sweden can be a bit of a chore given the time differential. So quite often I hear from Scott in delay. Well, no, I mean, he's in Sweden, not delay, but I hear from him after the fact, let's put it that way. And it was, I haven't laughed so hard in quite a long time. Marty says, that's it, we need to find a way to get you up to a T1. Marty, a T1 is one down and one up. Or at least that's how it's defined here. This is actually better than a T1. It's five down and one up. This thing is, when it's working. And the T1 was, ugh, God. Anyway, got a note from our buddy Scott in Sweden, who was responding to the mention I made last night from a note that Lottie had sent in, that was, well, all about Lottie's adventures with the scammer from fake Microsoft. And Scott noted, hey, Bob or Rebob, I knew America's internet was a little slower than most other developed nations, but that you were behind in the scams is news to me. These, hi, I'm filling the Western name from Microsoft, Indians have been pestering me for at least 5 years, probably more like 8. They originated at a call center where the enterprising young men in their downtime took the legitimate customer database and decided to use it for their own nefarious ends. The scam has metastasized all over India and Britain. They seem to prefer to call non-English-speaking nations because that way the language difference gives them the upper hand. Their English is generally better than most people's English as a second language. All they have to do is pour on the jargon. The scam proceeds by them installing the remote control software that the call center could use legitimately, for legitimate purposes that is, but in their hands is used for searching for credit card numbers, bank account numbers, and all that stuff you should never keep on your computer anyways. Here's a brief summary of some of my interactions. To the best of my memory, I've tried each of these repeatedly. And let me this is a mark of Agnes's charm. I told you about the one she got the other day, but she's also gotten the there's something wrong with your computer call. And by the time all was said and done, she had not given them any information, and yet had learned that the young man had dreams of immigrating to America and opening a restaurant and becoming a celebrity chef like he sees on the electric TV box. Really, that's Agnes. So, again, our buddy Scott says, here's a brief summary of some of my interactions to the best of my memory. Variation A. Roger. Hello, I'm Roger from Microsoft. I'm calling because your computer has a virus. Scott. What? A virus in my computer? Who would do such a terrible thing? Roger. I do not know, but it's been reported. That's terrible, says Scott. So tell me, Roger, slowly overpronouncing the name to let him know that you know that it's not his real name. Don't you think that putting something into a computer against the wishes of the owner is amoral and even criminal? Those viruses are often put there to make it easier to steal information on the computer. Oh, yes, sir. It's very bad. I should say so, Roger. I've even heard there are rogue call centers that try to trick their employers' customers into installing software that lets the thieves steal information from their very own customers. I would not know about that. Of course not, Roger. But they have called me before. They often pretend to be from Microsoft, your company. They are trying to hurt your very good name. Oh, yes, Mr. Scott, they are very bad people. What do you think we should do about it, Roger? I mean, if you were a judge and you caught them and could sentence them to something, what would you give them? Roger, uncomfortably. Well, Mr. Scott, I would treat them very harshly. It's a bad thing that they're doing. And just think, Roger, that so many of them come from your country, and a lot of people worldwide are beginning to wonder what it is about the morals of your country. If so many of its young men are turning to scamming, does that not bother you?
No, it's not good.
And think about their fathers and their mothers. They have often sacrificed much time and money to get their sons a good education, but they use it for crime? How would your mother like that, Roger?
She would be most upset, Mr. Scott.
I would think so. And can you imagine what it would be like to have your own child turn to crime?
Oh, he would never do that.
I would hope not, because an honest man like you, Roger, to raise an innocent child only to see him become a thief, wouldn't you find it hard to bear?
Right? That is right.
I wonder what it would be like for these thieves to call someone on the phone to begin to build a relationship, a little trust, all for the purpose of stealing from them. Would you be able to look in the mirror when you shave in the mornings? Could you stand looking in a thief in the eye and knowing it was you? Is this what one sets out to do with one's life? To steal? To take what isn't yours? Click. Yeah. Then there's variation B. By now, after years and years, we know Scott's got a delightful sense of humor, and he is not prone to mere repetition for repetition's sake. So yes, there are multiple variations. Variation B.
Hello, I am Tanner from Microsoft. I'm calling because your computer has a virus.
Just a second. Let me call Sergeant Sorensen. He does our computer crime investigations.
Hey, Yanni! We got another fake Microsoft guy. You want me to trace the call?
Click. Variation C.
Hello, I am David from Microsoft. I'm calling because your computer has a virus.
Jesus, David, thanks. I knew that was the problem. Great, I really want to fix this. The computer's been acting strange for days. But listen, I'm in an important meeting right now. Give me your number. I'll call you back in 15 minutes or so. After a few seconds' hesitation, actually gives me number. Thanks, David. I'll call you right back in a while. Click. Meanwhile, Scott calls the computer crime desk, reports the number, but never hears back from RoboCop. Variation D.
Hello, I'm Keith from Microsoft. I am calling because your computer has a virus.
Scott, trying to sound West African.
Very good, man. My uncle, General Ebo, recently died but left me a lot of money in a Swiss bank account. I cannot get the money because I do not have a Nigerian passport, and my house is under watch here because our tribe is not in favor right now, but I would be very happy to share it with you 50-50 if you will help. Right now I can only get out just a few percent he left in a day account, but first I need a credit card or bank account number, which I do not have, but I'm sure you do, and so on for as long as I could string him out. Click. And no, West African dialect is not in my list of... Yeah. Let's see. Variation E.
Hello? I'm Roy from Microsoft. I'm calling because your computer has a virus.
Holy shit! You mean my computer may be jeopardizing the entire internet? I'll have to kill it!
Well, it's not that bad.
Then why did you call?
Mr. Scott, we have got to get the virus out of your computer.
Thanks, Roy. I've now unplugged it. The internet is safe for me now, by golly. I'll open it up tonight and wash it all down with alcohol. That kills most viruses. And after that, I'll only plug it in a little at a time until I know it's cured.
But no, Roy, don't thank me. It is I who should be thanking you. Why, without your prompt phone call, this planet would be a telecommunications wasteland by now. I'm telling you, Roy, you are one goddamned real American hero. Who knows what this world would be like without fine, upstanding, understanding, notwithstanding, cockstanding, decent, honest individuals like yourself sacrificing your time to make the world a better place. Click.
Variation F.
Hello, I'm William from Microsoft. I'm calling because your computer has a virus.
Just a second. Lays phone down, ignores it. Variation G1.
Hello, I'm Jeff from Microsoft. I'm calling because your computer has a virus.
Hey, you have to fill Hemskeskit. Derinande bas fran ik tirk sarzel. Vad vil tu in fran ik Microsoft if fran mik arkangen for fun.
Yes, I'm calling with a string of foul names, but dropping in Microsoft every now and then. Eventually, click. Variation G2.
Hello, I'm George from Microsoft. I'm calling because your computer has a virus.
Scott, same as above, but in English instead of Swedish, cursing him out and being such a lowlife. Scott notes, now you can see I've long since lost any sense of play and simply tired of this and just want it to stop. And lo and behold, the following actually did stop it. After this conversation about 2 years ago, it ended. Variation X.
Hello, I'm Richard from Microsoft. I'm calling because your computer has a virus.
Scott. Richard. We're both businessmen. We've got to talk openly here.
Oh, no, Mr. Scott. Your computer virus. We have to stop it before...
Richard. I know all about the call centers, the customer database you've taken, the installing of the Trojan software, and what you're up to.
But, sir...
Richard. I couldn't care less about whether your business is top of the line or bottom of the line. As businessmen, we share one thing in common. Time is money. I cannot earn any money talking to you, and you sure as hell are not going to ever talk me into giving you control over my PC, and thus you are wasting both of our time. So I have a little proposition for you. Interested?
But, sir, your computer...
My computer is simply fine and healthy. Now listen. If you take my name off the list, just delete my record, then I'm free of you. But even better, you are free of me. Never again will you or your buddies at the call center ever have to waste precious minutes talking to somebody you will never make a sale to. And I'll never have to waste your time making snarky comments that you do not want to hear. Is that not a win-win situation?
But your computer...
Richard, you have a good salesman persistence. You keep the character well. You're doing a fine job for what you do. I'm not passing judgment. Let's just save each other time, okay? Richard, long pause followed by laugh.
Okay.
Thanks. So the saga... The saga of Scott and the Indian telemarketers. Friday on the front porch, May 2nd, 2004, 14 edition. When I get a giggle like that early in the morning, I can't do anything but share with you. Tweet coming in from Isaac. Bob, 0.88 up is too low. 1.5 up will do you fine for a radio stream, and your 5.0 down speed is too low for running a radio. No, it's not. No, it's not, because I'm not running a radio network. The server is running a radio network. The only thing upbound out of here
to the server is a teeny tiny piddling little bit of 64 kbps. Okay? Not, you know, 0.06 meg. So actually, it's an abundance of bandwidth. That's what makes this so crazy. It's not like the server is here. Okay? No, Marty. Scott is not Scottish. Scott is American Scott who lives in Sweden. Or American raised Scott. So to do the whole, the computer can't stand much more, Captain, it wouldn't have worked. But that's just a little bit of fun to be had. Well, okay, Isaac says, I do this for a living, Bob, and for radio stations. I understand that. But when this stuff happens, Isaac, and it's not happening continuously and regularly, and nothing else is impeding 0.06 upstream, the bandwidth ain't the problem. If 1 meg up can't carry 0.06 meg, and there's no other demand on the system, that strikes me as not a problem. And moreover, I have been all over the place with the ISP, believe you me. Look, they screwed up the phone system last week, believe me. And you know, contrary to popular opinion, I actually know a little bit about this thing, having done it for 10 years. I mean, it would be nice to have a civilized pipe. It would be nice to have 50 down and 10 up. But the problem is, and I've tested it, with even higher upload bandwidth, the buffering still happens. Yeah. What's odd... No, never mind. We're not going to get off into the weeds on that. So, and for that matter, given the struggles that we have keeping everything going here, paying more for bandwidth would be, might as well ask to make us a backbone, because we're doing as much as we can carry. Let's see. What else? I got a couple of things here that look like potential for fun. By the way, you guys absolutely hated Reverend Anderson last night, and with good reason. It's inspiring to me to know that you despise these people as much as I do. And lo and behold, I barely got done with the program, and I find out that all the way across the planet, apparently Reverend Anderson has a missing twin, the Sultan of Brunei, who has apparently more dollars than cents, is imposing Sharia law on the tiny island, tiny, incredibly wealthy island sultanate. They're starting out light with just some floggings and some beatings and some public shamings, and then they'll move on, according to the announcement, to beheadings and severing of limbs, you know, all in the name of the merciful Allah, who is the same as the merciful Jehovah, who is the same as the merciful God. You know, they're all the same mono deo. And one of the things they're going to start with punishing is out of wedlock pregnancies. So there you are. A Baptist church in Arizona has the same essential fundamentalist hate for women people in the name of the same God as a guy a half a planet away practicing a different version of monotheism. It would almost be enough to make you think that it's monotheism that's the problem, wouldn't it? And then there's James Dobson. Now, just because, well, if you've ever read the Iliad and the Odyssey, you know that the structure of those epic poems is such that each individual, when mentioned, and it was a mnemonic for memorizing the poem itself, it would be strong-armed Achilles or bold Achilles or fleet-footed Achilles or hard-headed Menelaus or noble Hector. The adjectives go in front as a way of keeping track of the cast of players. Well, the same thing can be said. The same thing can be said of the way we have to deal with people at what we deal with in this program. And what I mean by that is Dr. Dobson, because every time I mention Dr. Dobson, who would probably kill you if he was trying to put a Band-Aid on some doctor, the University of Southern California once gave him an Ed.D. degree, and of course he goes forth forever after, conflating himself with brain surgeons. Yeah. Dr. Dobson is the same guy who suggested that parents need to beat children until they cry real tears, his words, not mine, real tears, because, you know, in the middle of beating the child and the tears start, you can always tell when the tears are phony tears, and it's not until they're great big and salty and there's screaming and open wounds involved that you really know the tears are real. So they had this thing that they have periodically in D.C., national prayer breakfast, you know, where you get together and you pray over the nasty scrambled eggs and the rubber bacon and all of that stuff. And then you sit down to get to the business of asking the almighty creator of the universe to look kindly upon your efforts, your right-wing Republican efforts, to disassemble this once great nation and destroy the constitutional republic that it's supposed to be. So, hence the, and why Dr. Dobson gets invited to the National Prayer Breakfast is kind of beyond me, but he did. And he delivered an address . And, well, it's just so goddamn bizarre that you kind of have to, I'm sorry, it's a longish clip. We'll get through it, you and me. Ay, 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 ay. And I'm only doing this because this works a part of a theme, okay? We're going to start with Dr. Dobson, but we're not going to camp out with him. Ew. Oh, wait, by the way, speaking of camp out, in addition to beating your children until you cry real tears, Dr. Dobson also suggests that grown men take their 4 or 5 year old sons into the showers naked with them in order to show their sons. And apparently, if you think about the size dynamics involved, eye level, what a real manly heterosexual penis looks like, so that they won't go out and catch the gay. And why? But we got more on that too. Let's go to upstanding, God-fearing, manly man, James Dobson. Do please, Mr. Dr. Dobson, please.
My time very short this morning, but there's
not short enough, Buster.
I want to say to you, I have been here to sit. By the way, Shirley's sitting down here. I don't have a problem with humility, because God gave me Shirley, and she keeps me in line. But we have, I want to say something. In those 20 years, I have never made any kind of political statement, and I won't do it.
Again, proof that the alleged all-powerful bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky does not exist, because he's been nothing if not political his entire filthy life. And if the bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky did exist, that moment, the entire audience would have been astounded to see a lightning bolt come down, cleave James Dobson in two, and leave nothing but a smoking, greasy place whose smoke was pleasing in the nostrils of said Almighty.
Today, this is not what we're here for, to talk about who we elect and, parties and all that. We just don't do that.
Jesus! I mean, it was said, what, that Aaron, the brother of Moses, tempted God or challenged God or something like that, remember? And God didn't think too much of it back then. I guess he's mellowed with 3,500 years of age on him. Moses didn't get to see the promised land because he whacked a rock with his staff and made water come out of it because the children of Israel were dying of thirst. And God said, no crossing the Jordan for you, Buster. Doesn't have a problem with humility. Yeah, Marty's right. Somebody needs to tell him they lied. Lightning bolt.
That's not what the National Day of Prayer is all about. But
by the way, they've been having this National Day of Prayer for a while, and it doesn't seem to have worked, but just saying.
Something we are all about is morality. And there has been an issue that has come up that you need to know about. President Obama, before he was elected, made it very clear that he wanted to be the abortion president. He didn't pull any, he didn't make any bones about it.
Little fetus bones. Really? Because this is a pretty politically aware group of people. I mean, we're pretty well plugged in. And we followed the 2008 presidential campaign and the 2012 presidential campaign pretty closely. I mean, right down to every word that angry at Clouds McCain and private planet space starship money Romney, everything they said, everything Obama said, everything that the half-baked Alaskan said, everything that Eddie Munster from Wisconsin said. I mean, we followed it, right? I mean, you were there, I was there. Can I get an amen? Yeah, we did. Okay. And I just don't remember seeing any Obama, I want to be your abortion president bumper stickers. Or any buttons that said, if you like abortion, you'll love Obama. Or Obama, because abortion. Or maybe the iconic poster, and it said over top, Obama, and underneath it said, abortion. None of that was there, so I think this upstanding, God-fearing man of God who believes that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a life without sin, preached his ministry, was charged and persecuted by the Romans and crucified by the Romans, was dead and buried in a cave, got up and walked around, arose from the dead, ministered for 40 more days, flew up into heaven, and lives at the right hand of God, which means that believing all of that, James Dobson is washed clean of sin and gets to go to heaven and live with God forevermore when he dies. I think he's lying. I'm pretty sure. But remember, he made no bones about it.
This is something that he really was going to promote and support, and he has done that. And
well, then he's a great big giant failure, because abortions are down by about 40% in the United States since he took office. Can't fix the economy. Not being manly enough with Vlad Putin. Benghazi! And can't even increase abortions, right? I mean, he and Satan are both falling way the hell down on the job.
In a sense, he is the abortion president. And early on in his first term, he announced through Health and Human Services that every American who gets insurance, which should be almost all of us, would have to pay a surcharge. It started out at $1 a month, so that's $12 a year. I don't care how much it is, but $12 a year that would go skyrocketing. You know everything, every tax does, right, Judge? And that we would have to pay it, and that would go toward the support of abortion. And it would go to Planned Parenthood. And, in fact, his budget that he submitted this year had 200
lightning bolt no
$50 million for Planned Parenthood, and it's breathtaking what this means for unborn children. Well, that was very offensive to my conscience, to tell me that I had to participate in this.
You know, oddly enough, I do remember Dr. Dobson not standing up and hollering about how his conscience was offended when little already born Iraqi children were being blown into their constituent parts all over Iraq, or his conscience being bothered in the least little itsy-bitsy, teensy-weensy, microscopic portion when little children were being hellfire-missiled at Afghan wedding ceremonies. None of that bothered this Christian's conscience. One of these days, we got to sort out this Christian moral code. I mean, I'm absolutely baffled with it.
And to pay even a small amount of money in the beginning for the support of abortion. So I wrote this in a letter that went to 250,000 people. I doubt if it got anywhere near the White House, but this is what I wrote.
Okay, good for you. In other words, he sent out spam. He's a spammer. Because you know the bottom of this email included, can you please make a generous donation to Focus on the Family? Oh, my God. Let's hear. By the way, speaking of letter writing, we got some more letters here in a little bit. Hang on.
I believe in the rule of law, and it's been my practice since I was in college to respect and honor those in authority over us. It's my desire to do so now. However, this assault on the sanctity of human life takes me where I cannot go. I will not pay the surcharge for abortion services. The amount of the surcharge is irrelevant. To pay 1 cent for the killing of babies is egregious to me, and I will do all I can to confront the government that lies to me about its intention and then tries to coerce my acquiescence with extortion. It would be a violation of my most deeply held convictions to obey what I consider to be the principles of Scripture. The Creator will not hold us guiltless if we turn a deaf ear to the cries of innocent babies. So come and get...
Dr. Dobson, the Creator, did turn a deaf ear to the cries of innocent babies that you supported having blown up in Afghanistan and Iraq and Yemen and everywhere else our drones have flown, or wherever our soldiers have beaten down doors, or wherever Tomahawk cruise missiles have flown off of U.S. Navy vessels, or wherever smart bombs have fallen from U.S. Air Force and Navy and Marine Corps aircraft. Absolutely. Absolutely. But then again, what do you expect? Man of God.
Me, Mr. President, if you must, I will not yield to your wicked regulations.
What you're hearing there is a standing ovation. It's making James Dobson's withered old member jump like a snake in a microwave.
Thank you, everybody.
Hello, Cleveland! There was, however, one person of conscience in the room. Yes, indeed. Representative Janice Hahn, a Democrat from California, stood up, pointed her finger at him, and said, "This is inappropriate." She, by the way, is co-chair of the weekly Congressional Prayer Breakfast. And she walked out of the event. She said, "Dobson just blew a hole into this idea of being a nonpartisan National Day of Prayer. It was very disturbing to me and really a shame. James Dobson hijacked the National Day of Prayer to promote his own distorted political agenda." What a sick bastard. But yeah, we got more letter writers out there. Oh, yes, we do. Marty pointing out, someone needs to tell Dr. Dobson that he needs to switch the SAP in his head. Kate noting, please just let this one run to the end and get it over with. I hate listening to this pig shit. I know. But meanwhile, speaking of letter writers, we have to go out to South Dakota stand. To deal with a Republican member of South Dakota's House of Representatives, who is also at the same time a preacher. In other words, he's never earned an honest dollar in his life. Talking Points Memo has the story by Tom Clute. It is the story of... Representing Hickey. No, really. Representing Steve Hickey, whom the homos have inadvertently called to action. Because Representing Hickey is worried not about people who are gay, or worried about how they're going to tear down civilization as we know it. Representing Hickey is worried about their health. Yes. So he's written a letter to the Argus Leader of South Dakota, which is the biggest newspaper in that state. It is read by over 1 million cows every day. And the title of the letter... members of the Horn Family Commune who happen to be gay, and those of us who are friends and allies and generally care about them might want to avail ourselves of the tennis ball and the duct tape at this point. Representing Hickey titled his letter, because he wrote a letter just like James Dobson did, and his letter was called A One-Way Alley for the Garbage Truck. No, really. Doesn't take long to figure out what's on Representing Hickey's mind, does it? Over to his Facebook page, and I'm looking at it here. He posted it up. Because it's probably, well, it turns out the Argus Leader has a 600-word limit for op-eds, and this is way more than that. So he posted it to his Facebook page because he couldn't wait around for Jesus to read it on the pages of the Argus Leader. Sent this letter to the editor off to the Argus Leader. We'll see if they reprint it. Kristen hates the title. You probably will, too. Doubt they use it. A one-way alley for the garbage truck, representing Steve Hickey, District 9, Sioux Falls. Consider this an open letter to the medical and psychological communities in South Dakota. Not North Dakota. Mm-mm. Not Nebraska. Not Iowa. Not Idaho. Not Colorado. Just South Dakota. The subject is homosexuality, which is about to be a front-page topic for the next few years in our state. I'm asking the doctors who practice in our state, is the science really settled on this issue, or is it more the case that you feel silenced and intimidated? I wonder who would silence or intimidate them. Big gay? Certainly there are board-certified doctors in our state who will attest to what seems self-evident to so many. Gay sex is not good for the body or mind. Pardon a crude comparison, but regarding men with men, we are talking about a one-way alley meant only for the garbage truck to go down. Frankly, I'd question the judgment of a doctor who says it's all fine. Oh, F. Yep, there he is. Another upstanding, God-fearing follower of the Prince of Peace who's obsessed with anal sex. Because all he does is sit around thinking about gay people having gay men having anal sex. I don't know, maybe he thinks about lesbians having anal sex, too. Maybe he'd like to watch that. Who can say? South Dakota docs, it's time for you to come out of the closet. See what he did there? And give your professional opinion on this matter like you capably and responsibly do on all the others. Somehow the message we are presently getting from the medical community is that eating at McDonald's will kill us, but the gay lifestyle has no side effects. When everybody knows that the minute you pick out, those two guys pick out that China pattern, they get cancer from the very plates. Oh, sure, sure. You same-sex couples out there having your towels embroidered with your conjoined initials? You have no idea. It leads to heart disease. Truth be told, it seems self-evident. The list of side effects would read far longer than anything we hear on a Cialis commercial. Really? A Cialis commercial representing Hickey? A Cialis commercial. Nah, just keep smoking, Doc. This is really like, I don't know, this is like shooting whales in a barrel. It's all whale. No barrel. See, Alice. So he's sitting there obsessing about men having sex with men and at the same time thinking about stiffy medicine. Okay. If many are indeed wearying of our religious community leading on these morality issues and believe also... Oh, please. And believe also those of us in the legislature should butt out to... No, really. And he spells it with two T's. So we've got a reference to anal sex, a reference to stiffy medicine, and he uses the word butt inside of three paragraphs. It's time for the medical community in our state to be honest with us.
If you don't speak up, this issue will be decided by 5 unelected judges on the Supreme Court, regardless of what states like ours have decided by public vote. This indeed is a matter of being on the wrong side of history, considering that historically homosexuality has been a notable... Wait. No, don't you spit that tennis ball out. Has been a notable marker of the downfall of past civilizations. Name one. I'll wait. Anybody? Ancient Rome? No, that was the rise of Christianity. Byzantine Empire? Nope, it wasn't the gay either. That had more to do with pressures brought on by the rise of Islam, by infighting, by a brutal system that saw to the replacement of emperors via murder. And no, they're out. Ancient Athens? Nope, plague. And no, it wasn't a gay plague. Let's see. We got fall of the British Empire. Romans, Greeks, Byzantines, British. How about the Japanese Empire? No, that had a lot more to do with petroleum. And not petroleum jelly, I might add. How about the various empires, brilliant that they were, of the Indian subcontinent? No, largely that was a matter of outside incursions. And infighting. No gay there either. Soviet Union? No, I don't remember seeing Leonid Brezhnev or Sergei Andropov dancing around in a feather boa. And no. Come on. How about the empires of ancient Mesoamerica? How about the Mexica Triple Alliance that fell along about 1529? With the arrival of Cortez, maybe God withdrew his veil of protection from them because they were all buggering each other. No, actually not. The Mexica people were harder on caught perpetrators of homosexuality than just about anybody on the planet at that time. I mean, there's no questions. Garroting, strangulation, bang, done. I'm running out. Inca people? No gays causing, no. How about the Mississippian culture of North America that built the brilliant earthen pyramids at places like Cahokia in Illinois? No, that was environmental. Damn! Anybody, really, I'm needing an empire here. So there is indeed not an issue, and if we make it, homosexuality has not been a notable marker of the downfall of past civilizations. And he continues, it's not hate for a physician to speak up about something that is harmful to human health. It's not unloving to tell people you don't have to have sex with and marry someone to love and be loved by them. I'm betting representing Steve Hickey finds this out every time he goes on a junket to say, peer. Or maybe he gets way out of town and goes to Denver and gets to cruise the a certain part of the town there and finds out several times that you don't have to marry somebody to love them. As one who performs marriages and counsels couples as part of my professional life, marriage is the last thing I'd recommend to someone who simply wants to be loved and legitimized. What do other healthcare and mental health professionals in our state? You're not a healthcare professional, so other does not apply, representing Hickey. And to call yourself a mental health professional, doesn't your state have any laws about impersonating? Maybe not. I mean, all the credit cards come from there, right? So you get the idea. The South Dakota... Okay, I think we're getting to the gravamen of his complaint. The South Dakota High School Activities Association is presently considering changing the rules to accommodate transgender kids. 41% of those who struggle with gender dysphoria attempt suicide. That's 25 times the rate of the general population. Certainly tragic and urgent, but not a word from the medical and psychological communities. So really, we're letting our basketball coaches sort it out while ACLU lawyers look carefully over their shoulders? Letting boys play girl sports is not the starting place to fix the suicide problem of the very real daily struggle these students face dealing with something they've been handed in life. Well, this guy's downright forward thinking, isn't he? He doesn't think that transgender people are just possessed by demons. Why, he's well on the way to the 12th century. Society is broken and people have broken identities. Is it really best for us to break down the one remaining thing that has been working in society to try to fix the broken in our midst? Yeah, because high school athletics are working in our society. How many young men are going to wind up with early dementia because of head injuries they received playing for dear old Sioux Falls High School? Hint, several. And does it really even do that, or does it merely put them in more places, exposing them to additional painful ostracization, all the while transferring serious anxieties to other innocent and impressionable ones in those locker rooms? Yeah, feather boas for everybody there on the fighting bull herd. We need to have compassion, but there are unintended consequences to consider too. Before we let lawyers and judges decide this for our state, override the will of the people in the 2006 election, I issue a call to the medical and psychological communities and associations to weigh in publicly and timely on the matter of homosexuality and the human body, psyche, and family, particular kids. Can I just point one thing out, please? This guy starts out obsessed with sex, and finishes obsessed with transgender people, transgendered children. Along the way, he says that nothing should go up the rectum, only down. It is, he says, a one-way street, a one-way alley for the garbage truck. I'm assuming, representing Hickey, and frankly, I find some comfort in this, will never be examined for an enlarged prostate or maybe little cancerous bumps on same. This gives me comfort. Because it is, after all, representing Hickey, a one-way alley. If, say, he ever has a grandchild whose little body is burning up with fever, and let's say the digital gizmos break down and a rectal temperature has to be taken, well, too bad, kid. Let the convulsions begin. We can't check your temperature rectally because it's a one-way alley for the garbage truck. Yes, Irish Dave pointing out, so the cavity search is the gay? Absolutely, it's a one-way alley. Holy mackerel. The stupid is strong with these, and it burns as us. Now, when he got caught on all of this, he started backpedaling. He said, well, this isn't a very important issue to me. I've told people this isn't in my top five legislative priorities. This thing is not being pushed by me. They're the ones. Who are they? They are a pair of women who live in South Dakota and would like to be able to get married there and avail themselves of all of the constitutional governmental protections that are afforded to married people, which under the 14th Amendment, equal protection, means gay couples have to have it too. And, of course, they couldn't, so they had to go to Minnesota to get married, which they did. And then they came back to South Dakota, where South Dakota, of course, will not recognize their marriage, meaning that the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution is a dead letter. Meaning, of course, that eventually some judge will get around to declaring this stupid bigotry in South Dakota, enshrined in law in 2006, to be constitutional, unconstitutional, to be null and void. If the Supreme Court of South Dakota doesn't do it, then the federal courts will. Unelected judges or not. Bluta writing in, come on, Bob, I'm from South Dakota, and douchebags like that are the exception. It's a much more purple state than you think. It's just over the past decade it's gotten crazier, and the loons have come out of the woodworks. Plus, don't forget about the Senate candidate who said welfare recipients in South Dakota are like feeding the animals. And I know South Dakota politics. She was dog whistling to white voters that natives are animals. It's sad because South Dakota is home to some of America's greatest progressives. Mondale. And I understand that. And that general assertion can be made anywhere you look. The National Day of Prayer breakfast was sponsored by Representative Adderholt of Alabamistan. And he's an idiot and a fundamentalist and an evangelical. But you know what? Alabama is full of proud, fierce, I mean fierce, progressives. Lots of them. I know that. Same goes for Texas. There are probably more progressive people in Texas than there are in some entire progressive states. But the people making the noise and the people trying the hardest and the loudest and the most tirelessly to change this country from some sort of semblance of a republic that operates on some semblance of democratic principles into a theocracy ain't progressives. This guy's upset that his state is no longer going to be able to tacitly sanction the religious position that his church holds that not only codifies but sanctifies hate and bigotry. And asshats like him, with probably enough latency for the entire state, they get in the news because they're the ones who are endangering whatever it is that's left that you and I refer optimistically to as freedom. Question from Tim from L.A. Are conservatives like Dr. James Dobson and Mike Vanderbaugh gay? Vanderbaugh is the leader of the militia group, 3%ers up at Bundy's Ranch. He said that he would have Harry Reid's balls ripped off. What is it with these homophobes who use sex as a form of control? Oh, and did you know that Vanderbaugh, though a libertarian, is a closeted socialist? Yeah, I read that. The guy's on disability and is being paid by the federal government, the same government he does not recognize, and possibly gay like James Dobson, too. You know what? I would not like to suggest that either of these people are gay, Tim. What they are hate-filled misanthropes. Because if they're gay and they're closeted, their closet is nailed shut. Dobson has become a multi-millionaire preaching this hate. And if he suddenly burst through the closet door and said, well, okay, I got something to tell you, what would happen? Yeah, not good. Note coming in from Sergi in Texas. Even the garbage truck has to eventually travel the other way, otherwise they'll miss half the customers. Signed, Sergi, my bins and buns are out and ready, Kyle. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe Representative Hickey has a nasty-ass case of hemorrhoids, and they've traveled to his brain. Because, you can't get those checked either. Oh, for pity's sakes. Marty pointing out, I guess he's never had an enema, and that he also hates switch hitters. Yeah. So, die for your pride, representing Hickey. And then leave the rest of the world to go on as it has for millennia. You and your made up history. Thanks going out to Sal, who chimed in this evening, first through the gate, helping out with fundraising on this evening's Friday on the Front Porch. We try to raise $150 on any given evening, and Sal has just made that only $140. Thank you very, very much, Sal. 14 folks, 10 bucks apiece, 7 folks at 20, 2 at 70, 4 at 35. Oh, I'm good. I'm really doing my gazintas. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com. Also there you'll find the traditional mail address, which you may use, too. If you do that, just send me a note so that I can tell Boss Man Wayne to keep an eye out for it. But hopefully we'll find 14 folks or 7 folks or 4 folks or 2 people or whatever who can help us and help Sal finish up the evening's fundraising goal for tonight and for the first 2 days of the month of May. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sal. It is 7 minutes past the hour. Here endeth... Wait a minute. I got one more. Because this has to happen. Let's see. So we've worked the homophobia beat. We've worked the abortion beat. What are we missing? Well, of course, we're going to have to go to... Fox News, Radio TV, Rwanda for the answer to that. What's left? Well, they know, even if we don't.
Let's talk about it with Angela McGlowan, Fox News political analyst. Santina Jackson is also with us, radio talk show host and also a Fox News contributor. The comparison, Santina, is that... the Obama administration is essentially dead in the water, not going anywhere. Its policies kind of mired in a lack of support. Do you agree?
No. We are always trying to find a way to end this presidency instead of trying to mend it. Look, ACA is not the biggest problem that this presidency has, Angela. The fact is it's a bipartisan idea. It needs bipartisan implementation. Angela, you know better than anyone that ACA... Obamacare, was Romney Care, was Hillary Care, comes out of the Heritage Foundation. The fact is Americans are hurting. I think we can agree on that. We're unemployed.
Oh, my goodness, that actually got said on Radio TV Rwanda, that the Heritage Foundation came up with what is now known as Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. There were nonagenarian heads exploding all over America. But bless her heart for saying it. But that and I got to put this out there. The host, of course, is a blithering idiot white guy, but the two commentators are women of color, because what you're about to hear, even Ann Coulter couldn't get away with it.
We've got record poverty. Yeah, uh-huh. We do agree on that, right? And so
we
let's
agree.
Get to the work of that instead of trying to throw the president out of office.
We agree on the fact that Americans are suffering, but it's not because of Romney Care, and it's not even because of the ACA. It's because of the poor leadership of President Barack Obama. And yes, he has a Lincoln problem from the standpoint being at a dead point. President Obama is a brilliant campaigner, a brilliant politician.
What? He has the Lincoln problem being from a dead point? Did I get that right? We're working in a dead Lincoln joke? Tell the take me to the theater Abe joke while you're at it, sister. Oh, dear.
Americans are suffering, but it's not because of Romney Care, and it's not even because of the ACA. It's because of the poor leadership of President Barack Obama. And yes, he has a Lincoln problem from the standpoint being at a dead point. President Obama is a brilliant campaigner, a brilliant politician, John.
Yes.
So he should have taken a playbook out of Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich's playbook, out of even Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill's playbook on how to be a leader when you have a Congress that is against your policy. So it's not...
Wait, you're praising Bill Clinton? What?
But you want to know why, Santita? Because he was smart enough to sign 70% of the contract with America that was what? A Republican proposal. Bill Clinton saw when he should lead a nation, not all his own policy.
Santita, Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan did work with the opposing party in Congress to get things done. I mean, it's the kind of thing you're talking about that Americans want.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. What? Is this that again? Barack Obama hasn't worked with a Congress that writes on walls with purple crayons between their toes and picks their teeth with their toenail clippings? And I mean, what? How's he supposed to work with the Benghazi gang? Please.
Absolutely, and it's the kind of thing that Americans need because we are facing crushing poverty. We've got student loan debt that is crushing. Look, why don't we also take a page from the LBJ playbook? This is the 50th year of his
Great
Society. Look, and you know what he did do, Angela? He put money into public education at the elementary and secondary school levels.
Yes.
He decided to address, we got Medicare. Come on now. We made a lot of progress, and when we stopped that war on poverty, we started seeing an escalation of poverty again.
Well,
let's move back and then move forward.
But if Manager Jack, John Dillon with Lincoln and Barack Obama, you do have a slave mentality today, even though we had the LBJ, Great Society.
What? Huh? Yeah, I'm with her. What? Barack Obama has a slave mentality. I gotta hear this again. I'm sorry.
Seeing an escalation of poverty again.
Well,
let's move back and then move forward.
But if Manager Jack, John Dillon with Lincoln and Barack Obama, you do have a slave mentality today. Even though we had the LBJ, Great Society, we have a people enslaved on the government dole. Where we have people paying for people to have more kids out of wedlock, paying for more people to go to prison, instead of getting a job. So we do have a problem with slavery today, as Lincoln did back in the day, even with LBJ's policies, because you have certain people that
Angela,
want Obama phones, free phones.
I love that one. Oh, Angela, stop it. Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, just so we can make clear. This is Fox News analyst. Don't anybody tell Representative Hickey. I mean, spelling and everything counts. Angela McGlowan. And somewhere out there, I've got another one where he's got a manhood problem. Barack Obama has a manhood problem. Meanwhile, just in case you're interested, even in Tennessee, Stan, Obamacare enrollments are nearly double. Yeah. 14 minutes past the hour on this Friday on the front porch. So that's your answer, Tracy. Who is this bitch? Angela McGowan. It is Friday on the front porch, and it's time to get that started. I'm not going to stop, take a break, play any music, nothing, because this is always so much fun. We're going to be going to two of our phone lines. Let's see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Angela who?
McGlowan, Tracy, McGlowan.
So it's not Angela Davis, right?
No, No, no. You're wicked. Let's see who else we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
You got the Bill man himself.
All right. Hey, Bill. So we got Tracy and Bill on the traditional phone lines. Let's bring the Horn Malloy Skype chat group on board. Good evening, gang.
Good evening, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
So we got Duncan, who you just heard, Sergi, right before that. Devin is with us.
Okay.
And Jay Cruzen is with us, as is Fritz. So that's a nice little crowd we've got there.
Before I left, the main reason why I called wasn't even because of that. I had my first real life encounter with a birther yesterday.
Oh, in the cab?
In the cab.
Oh, that had to be fun.
Oh, it is.
I mean, was that half a bottle of Barbancourt fun, Tracy?
Oh, my God. I don't even know where to start. I don't know where from the 15% flat tax or the fact that Obama's not an American or, let's see, so I just kind of...
Did we get to he's a Muslim?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
See, that... You know, I understand. I mean, you've got this, you know, usually when you call in, Tracy, you've got this really bubbly, vivacious Tracy thing going on that we've all come to know and love.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something almost sedate, almost sober sides about you as I hear your voice talking about this. And I understand that because it's one thing to know that they're out there. I mean, we play the sound clips, we read the stories, everything.
Have a first actual encounter with
me. Right, but when you've got an up close and personal encounter, like when the woman drawing the blood out of my arm a few months ago said, "You know he's a Muslim, right?" while she's got a garden hose coming out of the vein on the inside of my elbow.
Right, so you know me.
It will slow you down.
It slowed me down. It knocked you for a loop. Because he went on and on. First, I don't even know how he even got on. He was fussing about some HR something bill that I still don't really know what he was talking about. And he's like, "Oh, here's another thing that's going to pass without anybody knowing." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he said something. Again, I don't know what he was talking about. And then he goes on. I said, "Well, who's passing it?" I said, "Who, the Republicans or the Democrats?" He's like, "The Democrats." I'm like, "Uh-oh. Here we go." And I said, "Well,
let me just interrupt and ask you a quick question, Tracy."
Mm-hmm.
How often do you politically proselytize?
Never.
Your affairs?
Never. Unless they start. The only time I say anything is if somebody says something to me, and even then, I don't engage. I just let people talk. Consider depending on how long the how long the ride is going to be, or how asinine they're going to be, and you know, like when the guy made a joke about lynching, I went stone cold off.
Yeah.
But typically, and most people don't really talk to me about politics.
No, and that is the larger point here.
Right.
There is no bigger group of people who feel self empowered.
Mm-hmm.
To tell you about that Kenyan Muslim Islamo-fascist communist socialist dictator, anti-colonialist atheist with a deep-seated hatred of white people. Than these babies. I mean, they are, and that's what I was talking about why I play the clips. It is one thing to know sort of intellectually that they're there.
To actually see them in person and actually to try to be engaged.
Right, and they won't miss a beat. Yeah. "Hey, good evening. Where are you going?" "Redondo Beach." "Okay, that's great. Hey, did you know the president's a secret Muslim who was born in the Philippines and he's really the Antichrist?"
Pretty much, and I just, you know, and like I said,
I mean, do you ever go to Redondo Beach?
I go to Redondo Beach more times than I would care to, because usually it's on a Friday. After I picked up from the airport, and it takes me you know, 40 minutes to go 10 miles.
I'm so proud. I like to work in geographic references of places I've never been.
It's okay. So when I shot him down every time he got a chance. You know, I'm like, okay. Because at first I said, you know, sweetie, because he asked me, well, are you a Democrat? I'm like, no, I'm an independent. And he's like, well, I love you to get this. I'm like, uh-huh. And so then he goes on about the flat tax. And I'm like, well, I told him I personally believe in the progressive tax and that people should pay according to their abilities to pay. I said, why should I pay? Like, for example, my mother made all of $4,000 last year, okay? And she had a 20% tax rate. So she had to pay $800 out of that. I helped her par some of that down because of she was basically self-employed. But I'm like, why should she have to pay $800 of anything out of $4,000? Excuse me, what? And then I went on about, you know, these sneaky taxes that people who, like me, have to, you know, we have the gasoline tax, the cigarette tax. I don't smoke, but the alcohol, you know, sales tax on food. The constant taxation of poor people.
Yeah, the regressive taxation of the poor. Tobacco taxes, booze taxes,
mm-hmm.
Grocery taxes, gasoline taxes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so then he was like, well, you know, us conservatives are only trying to do what's right for the country. I said, well, if you guys, your policies are so wonderful.
Well, but who told him that his policies are what's best for the country?
Because he's a conservative.
Right, because they are self-appointed.
Right, and I said, well, if his policies are so wonderful and so good for the country, why do you guys have to cheat? He said, what are you talking about? I said, anything, little thing called voter suppression?
Yeah, or if the policies are so good, why couldn't the vice presidential nominee for his party even carry his own district?
Exactly. I told him, you're telling me that these policies, I said, you know, what about the voter suppression? He's like, well, what do you mean by voter suppression? I'm like, okay. And I said, just pick up, just Google, since you spend so much time on the internet, Google voter suppression and see what states come up. I said, as soon as they gutted the Civil Rights Act, the Voter Rights Act, these little crazy people in these different states, I don't know, Florida, Ohio, Texas, they were lying in wait. I said they got rid of early voting, which means that, you know, back in, you know, down south, that was a big thing for the black church. At the church on Sunday morning, everybody would line up and go vote on Sunday. Got rid of that.
Did you see this new ruling out of Florida, Tracy?
Oh, Jesus.
No, but I guess I'll have to do. Apparently now in Florida, no matter how long the line is or how long you have to wait in line, you cannot leave the line
to go to the restroom. Mm-hmm.
I like to call that the Depending on Democracy Act.
Well, I just get some depends.
Precisely my point. You get it? Depending on democracy?
Uh-huh. And I told him, I said, people waited for hours to vote, but you didn't keep people from voting. I said, you got people who never had an ID or cared to need an ID, all of a sudden they need an ID, and then, lo and behold, all the places where the DMVs are now closed. So you can't get to buy, you know. And all of a sudden, when students could just vote in whatever state they lived in at the time of the election, all of a sudden, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. So again, tell me how good your policies are. Then I went on to him, you know, and I said about the great job creators. I said, so let's talk about Walmart, shall we? He said, well, you know, such and such about Walmart employee people. I said, sweetheart. I said, now, what kind of company are you people working for where they have to have a food drive at a Walmart to feed their employees? Riddle me this, Batman. While one of the person who just by chance got, you know, luckily in the gene pool and wound up a Walton, spends how much money on the museum?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and then I went into about the sales tax. I said, oh, and you do realize that whenever, you know, Walmart comes into a town, they use the town tax dollars to build the roads and stuff to, and the easeways into the Walmart, while taking the sales tax that should go back to that local economy and put it back into the Walmart, into the coffers of the Walmart. He's like, into the federal government. So I'm like, no, sweetie, those are state sales tax. Federal government don't get that.
Oh, Jesus.
And then I went on about, because he was talking about, you know, I don't care, you know, I don't see color. And I was like, honey, yes, you do. Are you blind? Because if you don't see it, I see it every day. And then he talked about, wait for it.
Oh, no.
Wait for it. He brought up Ben Carson.
Oh, no, not Dr. Ben.
I said, you know, I try not to get stupid, but I said, why do white people try to sign the color of the day, the noble Negro of the month, to talk to black people about? I said, you cannot talk to me about Ben Carson.
Well, one of your people is a conservative.
Yeah, you know what? And if you're talking about, like I told him, and if you're talking, and he did say something like that, he's like, well, I said, if you're talking about, oh, my God, Colin Powell, probably would have voted for Colin, because at least he knew he has never forgotten where he came from and what helped him get to where he is today. And then I told him, I said, I'm sorry, I cannot even wrap my head around a man, a brother, who had the audacity to equate Obamacare with slavery. I said, I can't do it. But here's the icing on the cake on that one. My neighbor, who's from Boston, her sister, well, her niece, guess who her niece's pediatrician is, or what?
Oh, no.
Ben Carson.
Oh, no. Is the child okay?
Now, but, you know, because even her sister is like, okay, because she's known Ben Carson. I think her daughter's, you know, a teenager by now. And when all this stuff came out, she's like, but I know this man. So she's like, okay, they lying. This cannot even be. And so she actually called him on it. She's like, yo, Ben. And this is a sister, right? And she's like, okay, what the hell? He's like, well, you know, I always kept my views to myself. And she's like, no, no, no. You can't hide crazy like that for this long.
God. God, help.
She's like, I've known you too long. Can't hide crazy for as long as I've known you. You can't hide crazy for that long. Oh, I take it back. No, no, no. I'm sorry. He's not her pediatrician. He's her godfather.
Oh, that's even weirder.
So that's what I'm saying. She's like, no. Because if it was the pediatrician, okay, I can say, okay, you can kind of hide crazy for long, that long. But when you have, you know, close interaction with somebody for years, the crazy, you know, no matter how much you try to suppress the crazy, it sneaks out, okay? Especially when you get comfortable around people, you're like, oh, well, they're not going to trip because of what I'm saying. Dude, she's like, no, hold. So this was, so when he said that, and I said, do not talk to me about Ben Carson. Do not talk to me about Condoleezza Rice. Do not talk to me about Clarence Thomas. Do not talk to me about, what's the fool that ran?
Herb Cain?
Herbert Cain?
Yeah, remember Sarah Pay's name's Herm, but. Sarah rechristened him Herb.
Yeah, don't talk to me about Ward Connolly. Don't talk to me about Larry Eldridge. Don't talk to me about any of these people. Please.
Almost slipped, didn't you?
Yeah. I was just like, because. And so I told him, I said, you know, sweetheart, I asked, because I told him when he started, I said, you know, let's not do this. Do not start in on me with, I said, we're talking. You want to talk about it? Let's talk about how gorgeous the weather is. We live on the West Coast. It's, you know, at that point, it was like 85 degrees. Clear day. Gorgeous day. So let's concentrate on what a lovely day it is today.
Anything. Yeah.
Anything. Because I guarantee you, if you do, I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying.
Well, you know, it's a beautiful day, but But I'm telling you, it'd be an even more beautiful day if it wasn't for Benghazi.
Yeah. No, he did not bring up Benghazi. Oh, wait. No, he did not bring up Benghazi. That was the guy that we talked
about. Ride was too short.
Yeah, actually it was too short. Because I just like, I said, you got the wrong Negro, homie. You did, because, see, I read, and I called him a racist, because I said, for you to assume that I'm going to care that you bring up Ben Carson like that for the, you know, sway me towards your way of thinking, bring out the other black guy.
Sure. Right, because, you know, there's always that one.
There's always that one.
Well, here's a fun one for you, and I'm not gonna run the audio or anything. There's been enough torture on this program already. But so we've got Obama has a slave mentality, okay?
Yeah.
Well, then there's always that proud son of Stanford University with the perfect helmet hair, Brian Fisher of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, whose intimate contact with the Almighty was apparently not enough to keep Tupelo and its surrounding environs from getting flattened this week. I take that back, Tracy. For you and the entire Friday on the Front Porch crowd, I am going to play this clip. I apologize in advance.
I'm going to hate you now, so let's...
Yeah, just get the hating over with, all right?
Do we need to break out the duct tape and tennis balls?
Yes, Sparky, yes, absolutely. And I would, in this, I generally don't mention I'm okay if you want to use the traditional white, the orange, whatever. Get the fluorescent day glow ones, because if you should happen to spit it out, you want to be able to find it real quick. Okay? Stand by, here we go.
Gorilla tape?
Yes, the gorilla tape, Devin.
Gorilla?
Yeah.
With Obama, is that he has leprosy, and the Word of God relates leprosy to sin. And he's infecting everybody that he touches, just like the leper did. And the only person who cured leprosy was Jesus, that Jesus touched. So unless he turns towards Jesus, it's just going to get worse with him. And
now, are you using leprosy in kind of a metaphoric sense of some sort of cancer that he's got that's kind of spiritual, it's soulish, it's psychological, and he's infecting the people around him? Is that the idea?
Well, right, yeah. I didn't understand, like, in Leviticus so much about lepers and mildew.
But you're not talking about a biological condition. You're talking about the kind of values that he holds.
It's going to start showing, like I was telling my wife this morning, that he's going to turn into a white man, and it isn't Caucasian, it's white with leprosy. And she said, well, he's already half white. I said, oh, I kind of like
that. So you are talking about what you believe to be as a physical condition. Now, you're talking about an actual physical condition you think that he has and is going to manifest. Am I hearing you right on that?
Well, it's manifesting itself more and more. And
now you're actually claiming that you're seeing this?
No, I'm not seeing him as a total, but anyway, he's going to get the word that, God is...
Well, and I think you're exactly right when you talk about leprosy being a symbol for sin. And the solution to that is Christ. And whatever there is that's toxic about our president, and I do believe he has a worldview that's very skewed, it's very distorted. I think he has an antipathy toward Christianity. He's obviously got an antipathy toward the sanctity of human life. James Dobson throwing down on him yesterday over that issue. So there is something cancerous there that's eating away at him, and because of the position he occupies, it's eating away at our body politic, and Sells is exactly right. The solution for that is to come to the feet of Jesus.
Okay, before the screaming starts, let me bring on a couple of more phone lines. Let's see. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is
that me?
That's you, Kevin. Gotcha. Okay, stand by. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob?
Jim?
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right, so we've got our full complement of traditional telephone line conversationalists to go with the conversation in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Okay, do we have that now? Barack Obama is half white, but he's going to turn full white, but it won't be because he's become a white guy. It'll be because he's got leprosy, and he's going to give leprosy to everybody else, too.
His hair is turning gray at an alarming rate.
That happens to Democratic presidents. Have you ever noticed that, Sparky?
Yeah, they get that way.
I think it happens to all presidents.
Well, no, I mean, greasy old
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I mean, he had that coal tar in his hair when he started, and he finished with the coal tar in his hair.
Well, he probably bought a lot of kiwi in his life.
Yeah, but Reagan didn't know he had it.
Yeah, that's true. Reagan didn't, and by the end, Reagan didn't even know he had hair.
I think that threw up some in my mouth.
Yeah, Devin?
After playing that clip, you've just given me cancer. Thanks a lot.
Well, all we got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it, Devin.
I want to point out, if you listen to that clip, the guy, he was a caller, and he sounded crazy from the start.
Yeah.
Did you notice the coaching by Brian Fisher?
Absolutely.
That was what really struck me. Instead of blowing the guy off and saying, thank you for the call, no, he's got to turn it into something criticizing the president, because the guy obviously, I heard from the start anyway, the guy obviously has mental problems.
Right, and you heard are you seeing he's actually got leverage? Oh, well, I haven't had a full... yeah, well, exactly. And Brian Fisher doesn't even have the integrity to say, listen, buddy, I mean, that's over the top. But what's more important here, I think, Kevin, is to point out the fact that it is, you know, anybody who's ever studied warfare knows this. If you're going to be effective in warfare, the first thing you have to do is dehumanize the enemy. We can think of all the epithets that we had for Germans and Japanese. The entire universe of epithets that were created by the American military for people of Vietnamese extraction. Let's see, we can certainly remember a few of the epithets that the military taught its soldiers to refer to Middle Eastern people as.
Oh, Christ, yeah.
Okay, so I mean, just bear with me for a minute here. The dehumanization of an enemy is the first step on making it okay with people to do violence to that person. And so what we have here, and you identified it, Kevin, what we have here is the ongoing attempt to dehumanize Barack Obama to the point that, and they know it, the Brian Fishers of the world know it, the people who pray that verse out of, what is it, Psalms, that says, may his wife be a widow, and his children be without a father. You know, that's all there. They're actually rooting for violence to be done to a sitting president of the United States.
And then,
well, Bob, here's a line from a song from the early 40s. When the dirty yellow bellies meet the Collins and the Kellys. That was a victory, you know, a pop thing that was being sung after the beginning of World War II. You know, pointing the finger at the other guy's skin color, and he's going to run from the white man. That was what happened in Korea when those guys first ran up against the North Koreans. They didn't know what the hell was happening. These guys, I mean, they literally thought the other guys were going to turn tail and go back across the 38th parallel as soon as they had to face a bullet from an American. Stupidity never changes, Bob.
Neither does racism, and neither does bigotry, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Brian Fishers of the world and the Angela McGlowans of the world are doing is fomenting a dehumanization of the President of the United States.
Well, that Angela's voice would have them strap a number across my chest if I had to live with that thing for any amount of time. Just the sound of her shriek is enough to make you want to...
No, I really liked the other woman because she kind of had a scolding tone to it. She said, "Now, Angela, you can't really."
And Bob, there was a time when a professional news reader, commentator, or whatever had a kind of a voice that was pleasant to listen to. Not, if not pleasant, at least.
Yeah, that's all gone now, Bill.
Yeah. Screech and scream real. Hell, I'd be a hell of a good newsman. I've got a foul mouth from the word go. Good thing they, you know, at least you have to watch your language, or I'd be off here in no time. It just drives you to a point of distraction, that's all.
Well, the thing I'm kind of amazed about is that even though they are right-wingers, they're actually starting to have Afro-American commentators on Fox. Is this the sign of the end times or something?
Well, there was a name that I heard a lot of my friends say who on the black friends on the left had a name for those people, and it wasn't a familial name. I'll let it go at that.
A familial name.
Uncle Tom?
Yeah, a relationship name.
Thank you.
See, there's phrases we won't use, Tracy.
Oh, okay. Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying to my health aide the other day when I said, you know, the country's got this mistrust of black Americans, and yet you look at who makes the best rice? Uncle Ben. Who makes the best pancakes? Who makes, you know, the cook on the cover of...
Yeah, isn't it amazing this far into the 21st century and we still can't get Ann out in front of Jemima's name?
Yeah. I mean, this was...
Or Uncle from in front of Ben.
Lake County, some family opened a New Orleans-style restaurant. And they all had much better tans than I did. And the food was out of this world, but the average white customer didn't show up, and they had to go out of business. But just the idea of being able to eat at the Fay and a few other places, things that you can't get around here. It could have been bad for all I knew, but it sure tasted different and tasted good to me. I don't know. But doors had to close because of the stupidity of the customers.
God almighty.
Well, you know,
go ahead, Tracy.
No, it's just there's a book that or a video that I just haven't about this gentleman, I can't think of his name, about how, you know, racism is just growing in this country and how he was talking about, you know, during World War II, how the white soldiers who were out and out just refused blood from black soldiers. They would rather die.
The army was segregated, no doubt about it.
They would rather die than to have blood, you know, because, you know, that Negro blood.
Well, you know, one drop.
And that'll make you black.
I mean, if you had all that privilege going for you and you knew that you got a transfusion and next thing you know you were going to have to drink in a separate water fountain, couldn't get a ham sandwich at Walgreens?
Oh, my God.
I know.
Well, there have been problems with transfusions, but that's because certain illnesses come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, but nobody knows where that blood comes from.
Well, did you notice, and it showed up in Talibandiana, the U.S. has identified its first case of MERS-V.
And that is?
It's a cousin of SARS.
Oh, shit.
Only it's the Middle Eastern respiratory virus. It first showed up in, I believe, Saudi Arabia, and now it's made its way to Talibandiana.
Uh-oh.
And, because of the sequester, the CDC got the snot knocked out of it. So, well, watch out.
Well, the other thing is that there are different things making comebacks, illness-wise, and, you know, measles, I guess, for one.
Whooping cough.
Whooping cough, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're having issues of out here with whooping cough and measles.
Right, and that's the fault of the vaxxers. People like, who's that idiot, Jenny McCarthy?
Yep.
Yeah, with her special ass.
Mumps.
Mumps, measles, whooping cough. Yeah, things that we didn't used to have children get sick and die from, they're going to start doing again because of, and again, this is because of people like Alex Jones. And the people who spread these wild-ass conspiracy theories about how, I guess, you're going to become a Kenyan Muslim with a deep-seated hatred of white people and be anti-colonialist if you go and get your baby vaccinated. And then, but the thing is, if it was just the weirdos who were doing it to their own children, it would be sad and awful enough. But because of that, when the kid gets sick, they take their sick baby to the doctor's office, where the baby then spreads it all, or maybe the baby spreads it at school.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when Alex was, and happy belated wedding anniversary, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Bob. I remember when Alex was in kindergarten, and there was this crazy outbreak of chickenpox. Because, we had, where I used to live in the valley, there was a large immigrant population. And, yes, a lot of people came here without getting vaccinations and not knowing about vaccinations and all this other stuff. Or just, if something shows up on your kid that's not what you should normally see, take them to the doctor. There was this crazy outbreak of chickenpox. Crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you didn't know, do little bumps on your kid? But this, of course, was before, the craziness, spread to, vaccines. If you have that, if you get your kid vaccinated, they're going to get, autism and whatnot and so forth. And so I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So here we go. I have a cousin that's stupid like that. And she didn't get her daughter vaccinated. And I said to her, I said, don't bring her to my house. Because I have neighbors with kids.
Right.
And I care about my neighbors' children.
And there are children out there who, for legitimate scientific and medical reasons, cannot receive vaccinations.
Yes. And it's legitimate and actual scientific reasons.
And these vaxxers put them at risk.
Yes.
And there are children who can't receive a vaccination because they're too young. You can't, the baby doesn't just emerge from the womb and we start jabbing it with needles.
No.
And so those babies remain at risk until they're old enough to be vaccinated.
So when I take my child into, his or her first well baby checkup, okay, and so you got the idiot who didn't take their children who won't, who's what, 2 or 3 years old, who should have been vaccinated to a certain extent by the time they're 2 or 3. And I'm sitting in the doctor's office with my baby who's just freshly out of the womb with a brand new immune or, not so very strong immune system. My child dies or gets horribly ill because your ignorant ass decides, I just refuse to vaccinate my child.
Right, because freedom and liberty and Wolverines,
Well, Bob, it's not just that. It's also the conspiracy theory. The retardation or the screwing up of the conspiracy theory that, believe me, I know there are some conspiracy theories I wholeheartedly believe in. But then I think the people, the non-vaccine people, vaccinators, they just kind of adopted that, and they didn't look into it wholeheartedly. And I mean, you're seeing the consequences of it now.
And where's it? But where's it spreading from, Jim?
The
it's spreading from right-wing talk radio and inside evangelical churches.
Exactly, and it's people like Alex Jones. I had a woman I know.
I'm sorry, who's Alex
mentioned I should listen to him. I'm like, I've just heard replays of him. I know he's a nitwit. I know truth tellers, you know, like you and Mike Malloy and there's a couple others out there, but I'm not gonna just hook on to anybody who pitches any tent and starts preaching.
No.
What? Why does that make
bit, Jim, is the fact that Bush and company pulled a lot of the inspectors out of meat plants, and you pull away inspectors and you let these guys run everything through the mill that they decide is more profitable to them. We are liable to have food problems.
Oh, it's going to get worse. I mean, and it's not just the Bush administration. I remember the story a couple of months ago, Bill, about the pilot program that was an abject, miserable failure wherever it was tried, and that includes the United States, Canada, and New Zealand, where chicken plants were allowed to self-inspect their chickens, and the chickens were just rolling out of there, boiling in a stew of E. coli. And the Obama administration said, sounds great, do it.
We had a guy talking 20-some years ago here, a college professor, about the amount of arsenic that was being injected into chickens to bring them to market faster.
Oh, yeah.
Put the profit motive out there, and it's anything can happen to
The profit motive is poisonous.
Enough money.
Tracy, you asked who is Alex Jones.
Yes.
Alex Jones is a right-wing conspiracy goober. You might recall way back when he was on TV with Piers Morgan, and we did a deconstruction of that interview.
He's the one who sounds like the love child of Selma Diamond.
Is he the one that said, you know, went off on Piers Morgan and said he could take his ass back to the UK?
Yeah, and he's the guy who said that Sandy Hook was a false flag operation and there really weren't any dead children, and they're coming for your guns.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know that there's a... Hi there, folks. It's Larry.
Hey, Larry.
You know, there's another Alex Jones clone named Peter Santilli, and I don't recall what he said about...
Oh, yeah, he's an idiot, too. Right.
You know, and he's been on, you know, various platforms. But I have a good friend that I talk with who's down in Palm Springs where I went to high school. And he believes all this Republican stuff that they're talking about right down the line. And it's really frustrating because I'd like to be able to understand where these people are coming from, because we're supposed to develop the ability to tolerate people with other points of view and not just shut them down and say, you know, F you, get lost. But it becomes really difficult because I don't have any starting point with which to... You know, I try
They're
to explain,
coming from the bubble, Larry.
What's that?
They come from the bubble where facts can't penetrate.
Yeah, well, they say I live in a bubble.
Well, and the other side of that is that, oddly enough, I preface it with that, but the other side of that is that not every issue has an equally compelling other side. And yet the right wing has made a fortune off of it and made an industry out of it. There is not a compelling other side to the... Man, I'm getting an echo. I don't know who's echoing.
Somebody's got some feedback going on.
I took care of it.
Okay, thanks. I'm sorry. There's not, you know, there aren't two... for instance, take the premise... Let's pretend we're having a debate. Take the premise that killing a whole bunch of six-year-olds is bad. There's not... An arguable position for killing a bunch of six-year-olds is good. But that is precisely what the right wing have done in this country. It's what the NRA does every day of its miserable, filthy existence.
Which is what? I'm sorry, I missed what you were talking about. You were trying to explain why it is that the right wing has such a this big megaphone that sort of...
No, I'm not explaining the megaphone. I'm explaining how the megaphone works, Larry.
Okay.
And it's making its bones on the blood of, you know, slaughtered children. It's making its bones on arguments that Barack Obama has a slave mentality. You know, again, let's take the premise Barack Obama does not have a slave mentality. There is not a compelling case to be made in debate for, yes, he does. And yet this is the stock in trade of the right wing. I'm sorry, Sergi.
There was a fantastic guide to logical fallacies that I read, and one of the fallacies in that list was the, you know, fallacy of dichotomy is what it was called. And, you know, basically that whole false, you know, idea that every issue has to have two sides. And the example that that website used was, like, Alice doesn't want to kill any puppies, but Bob wants to kill all the puppies on Earth. Well, the solution is not to do 50% of the puppies. There's no other side. Don't kill any.
Yeah, it's kind of what I was talking about the other night, about, you know, false dualities, where we say, for instance, we've either got to drone people in the Middle East or we've got to send in a battalion to take out 12 terrorists, and we'll probably get several American soldiers killed in the process. And that's, you know, that's, those are the only alternatives. Well, the unstated alternative is, how about we don't screw with them at all? And in energy policy, there's the false duality of, well, we're either going to move that Bakken crude by rail or by pipeline. You pick. When there is a very real third alternative, wait. When there's a very real third alternative that says, leave the filth in the ground. And by the way, just a little bit of an update. I found out more via our buddy Steve Horn at DSmogBlog today. He sent me drone footage. Yes, drone footage can be good. There are people out there now who fly drones around for hire so that you can get an aerial view of stuff. And somebody hired an outfit to fly a drone in Lynchburg, Virginia, over the site of the smoking rail cars from the bomb train explosion a couple of days ago. And there were 100, and just so we can put numbers to what's going on here, there were 108 cars in that train. They were all Bakken crude tanker cars. There was no way that the engineer could have anybody to tell him what was going on outside of his line of sight, because there's no caboose. That train, 108 rail tanker cars of the DOT-111 class, 108 rail cars equals 3 million gallons of Bakken crude. 3 million gallons of Bakken crude leaves North Dakota every 2.5 hours. Now, does it have to? It's traveling down rickety-ass, poorly maintained CSX lines and Burlington Northern and so forth. That particular crude train, that bomb train, had traveled through the New River Gorge National Park only hours before it exploded. It had traveled hard by the side of a river that has whitewater rafters going down it almost constantly every day. It had traveled 800 feet underneath a single arch steel bridge that crosses from one mountaintop to another. It takes a while for 108 cars to pass any given point. And, you know, every 2.5 hours, another one leaves North Dakota, headed this way.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Bob.
No, go ahead, Tracy, please.
No, I'm doing the math, and now even I'm just, you know, let's go back to that, you know, paying fair share and reinvesting in the country and the infrastructure and all that. Now, as tight as these MFs are about, you know, spending any of their money, I would think, okay, let's just some common sense here, guys. Again, would you rather have, I mean, if I'm losing, you're losing crude, you're losing money, however millions or billions of dollars it is that's going to blow up because, you know, of the rickety infrastructure, you know, that was once our great country. So I would think, well, hell, fire, I better invest in this, you know, in the infrastructure so I don't lose any money. I know I'm stupid. well, naive. I don't know. I just, oh, okay.
Well, not stupid by any stretch of the imagination. But, again, that's a classic example. You know, do we move it by rail or do we move it by pipeline? How about the alternative of we don't move it anywhere? How about the alternative of we leave it in the ground until we absolutely can't get around it, have to have it? And that ain't now.
Nope.
How about we expand the infrastructure for wind and solar?
Yep.
How about more Chevy Volts, more Priuses, more Tesla?
Tesla.
Yeah.
I want a Tesla, Bob.
I got Tesla fever.
Man.
And like I've said before, by 2015, Tracy, do you realize? And this just blows my mind. There will be a supercharging station within 245 miles of another supercharging station all over this country. And here's fun. They're going to be solar powered.
they already are in California.
Yeah.
In California. I mean, I passed by one of my students. She lives around the corner. I don't have that student anymore, but there was this kid that lived that was on my route. And I had to pass by a Tesla not a showroom, but the actual place where you pick up your car every day. And I would just look and just go, oh. Again, as much as something's driving me crazy about this state and how we're not, doing it to the full potential of reinvesting in my state, but just the things that we are doing in my state makes me smile. So, there's that. And I'm going to put you guys on mute because I got a customer, so I'm going to put you guys on mute.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Until these guys can get control of whatever it is, the people who already control electric companies, this company, that company, until they can get their hands on it and get control and knock out any potential competition, that's part of the trouble. Maybe it's paranoia, but at the end of the line, it's the money part.
Sure, Bill. Why do you think Americans for Prosperity and the Koch brothers are working hand over fist to destroy individual solar power generation and trying to get people, get states to ban people being able to be on the grid if they have solar? They've got a name for them. They call them free riders, which is another way of calling them freeloaders. And what'll happen is they're going to try to eliminate solar people being on the power grid. Then they'll try to eliminate solar power altogether until such time as they can control and consolidate control of solar and wind power generation. Then it'll be okay.
Until they can charge you once, until they can bill your ass once a month for it, they don't want to hear about it.
Well, here in California, the people with solar panels are called givers.
Yeah, because they never get paid.
Zero, and they never get paid.
Right.
All you do is.
But
don't
see
the electric bill.
The babies at Koch Industries, though, Sparky, they say, "Well, they're going on the grid, and they don't pay nothing for maintenance." So what they're angling for is some corporate welfare. Make solar electricity generators pay a fee to the power companies for maintenance of the grid, which incidentally will probably be roughly equal to the amount of a power bill. By the way, good observation coming in from Jack in Shreveport. In addition to there being a false dichotomy fallacy with the right wing, the argument that there are two sides to every issue fits with the usage of hyperbole and polarization by the right. Exactly, like Barack Obama has leprosy.
They got to dig up a biblical disease, don't they, huh?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, because that's the kind of stuff that the all-loving creator God of the universe inflicts on the people that he loves so much.
Well, he's just testing them. Wants to make sure they're pure.
Right, and strong.
Yeah, he can't have weak. Otherwise, that'll mess up the DNA he created. Out of two people. Then you get all these races out of two people. Anybody see Noah?
No, I haven't. I refuse.
No, ditto me, but I just, the whole story about that is just comical. I mean, how do you get Oriental people? How do you get, you know, different people with different shades? I guess over 6,000 years, they just adapt to the environment and change.
Oh, by the way, a little shift in topic here. I saw a quote the other day from Neil deGrasse Tyson, and it always tickles me when I see ideas getting out into the mainstream that we've been talking about for years here. You may recall some time back I was talking about how so many people in the environmental community say things like, global warming's destroying the planet, and coal, oil, and gas are going to ruin the planet, right? And somewhere along the way I said, no, we're just making the planet uninhabitable for us humans. The planet, nobody's going to make the planet go away. It'll eventually roast to a crisp in some sort of cosmic meltdown when the sun gives out, but we got a few billion years to worry about that. But we don't have that much, and lo and behold, there's Neil deGrasse Tyson, who says, it's 900 degrees on Venus, not simply because it's closer to the sun than us. It's not that much closer, a little bit closer. It's got nearly 100% CO2 in its atmosphere, and that atmosphere is 100 times as dense as ours. So heat comes in, it does not come out. And he proceeded to say, we are warming, and that comes with consequences. By the way, Earth will survive this. People say, save the Earth. No, don't worry about the Earth. Earth will be here long after we have rendered ourselves extinct.
Oh, yeah.
my sick mind, all I can think of is the damn cockroaches will survive everything.
Yeah, give them a couple of years, they'll be 6 feet tall. They'll be standing on two legs and working with four. and they'll dig up our civilization and say, what the were these people about?
Well, I saw a restaurant burn up here, a delicatessen, and it was noted for its lack of cleanliness and these critters were pouring out of the damn place when it was on fire. Firemen were hitting them with hoses, trying to.
Well, a couple of million years from now, Bill, when the 6 foot race tall of sentient cockroaches is ruling the planet, they'll have the technology when they discover an old can of Raid to realize what we were about, and they're gonna call us monsters and barbarians.
You're sick.
It's like that scene from the first Men in Black movie when Will Smith steps on the cockroach and looks at the big monster bug and says, I'm sorry, was that your auntie?
Well, I was thinking of the movie Planet of the Apes when the great actor and leader of head of the NRA.
And defender of freedom and liberty, right. Right. Oh, by the way, note coming in from our buddy Mark. High-speed rail is the topic. He says high-speed rail would compete for passengers from airlines industries. Koch brothers refine aircraft fuel. Ding, 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 ding. I mean, yeah, it's like. They don't just happen. There are reasons, and most of them are driven by the avarice and greed of less than 1% of the population of this country.
People who have all the money they'll ever need can't get more. They need more. It drives me nuts because, I mean, I've been happy to live, you know. Well, I had a bad day anyway. My home health aid decided to batter fry salmon, and I don't believe in that.
I'm up for batter frying some fish. I mean, I love some pan fried catfish or. Batter fried walleye. Whoa.
Yep.
But salmon? Really? I don't think I've ever seen batter fried salmon.
I've never been done with salmon in my life. I never heard of it. It didn't taste like salmon. I don't know what it tasted like. The batter didn't taste bad, but salmon is supposed to taste like salmon. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe. Anybody out there want to correct me? Go ahead.
No. I love it when it's grilled on a cedar plank, and you get that kind of cedar thing going with it too.
Okay. I don't know everything
chicken
about
fried salmon.
I may think I do. Yeah.
Oh, Devin, stop it! Chicken fried salmon.
Well,
you heathen!
I'll tell you, I'm a sucker for that damn chicken fried steak. That's for damn sure.
Now you know what? That'll go out there, and I'll get an email by sometime next week from some member of the Horn family saying, "Hey, Bob, I tried chicken fried salmon, and it worked out pretty good with the white gravy and stuff. Oh, yummy!" There's somebody having dinner right now going, "Hey, honey, let's try that." That Devin may be onto something.
The only thing that Denny's ever had that was edible was the chicken fried burger, you know.
Yeah, they always look at me funny at these little joints and I say, "I'll have the chicken fried snake."
Well, with Denny's, you're better off eating the goddamn menu.
My favorite was at Denny's Deluxe, the roast beef grilled cheese with tomato sandwich.
Oh, wow, that actually sounds pretty good. You're doing it to me again.
French fries and brown gravy.
Do you have any idea how many, everything closes? I mean, even during the height of tourist season around here, everything closes at 9.
As long as
I'm telling you, why don't you quit the radio and go into the damn, biscuits and gravy business?
We had a place that made decent biscuits and gravy, but they folded up. No, I am excited. This weekend, the lovely ladies up at the Exxon gas station that also doubles as a little cafe, because that's the way America rolls now. Get your gas and your gravy at the same place. Pretty soon, we'll probably get our booze and our bullets there too. But they're at my request this Sunday, they're making cabbage rolls.
Making what?
Cabbage rolls. Oh, yeah, I can get real worked up about a cabbage roll.
We had a good rib burn-off, so one day of the rib burn-off, a lot of the church ladies would bring in stuff that they had cooked themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, they can cook great.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember looking at a
gas and gravy from the same pump.
Absolutely. And maybe a little IV stand right next to it, Devin. But once upon a time, I knew this lovely lady. She was a Republican, and she had brought cookies to work and was offering them around. I reached for one. She said, I can't believe you'd eat one. You're a Democrat. I said, hey, I didn't say you guys can't cook. I just said you can't govern. And it's the same thing with the lovely. I mean, are you kidding? When I do the Wednesday prayer meeting shtick and I talk about the little old blue-haired ladies down in the kitchen of the fellowship hall, that ain't a joke. And I mean, they could cook rings around people. Oh, wait, I got three words for you. This just rolled in from Tracy's email. Three words. Listen carefully. Chicken fried lobster. Mother.
I'm crude. Me and lobster don't get along.
Oh, me and lobster get along real fine. We just haven't gotten along real fine in quite some time.
Shrimp and scallops are my seafood of delight. Outside of fish itself, of course.
Well, tonight I'm having, I got like two pork chops and, what's that, yellow rice?
Oh, I love that. You ever had Low Country red rice, Jim?
No. If I have, I'm not familiar with it.
Look up the recipe. It's worth the effort. Oh, my Lord in heaven. It's fabulous. It just, I learned about it on a little trip I took down to the Georgia coast. And it comes out of the Gullah Geechee tradition. Holy mackerel.
Season it with?
Huh?
I'm going to season it with a little garlic powder because I can't get enough garlic, and then throw on some Tony Satchery.
I love Tony Satchery's. And some buddies of mine across the river are threatening to make cream of ramp soup next week.
Can y'all get it up there?
What? Sasheries? Oh yeah, hell yeah. You know what? I love to use it for. I don't care. I don't care for Bloody Marys because I don't care for vodka. And sometimes I don't care for booze in it at all. But when I'm using booze, I prefer to make a Bloody Mary with cheap tequila. And I use a brand of Bloody Mary mix, and I've mentioned it before. Sometimes I just cut it with tomato juice, and it's wonderful that way, called Zing Zang. And it's apparently the Bloody Mary mix of choice around New Orleans, although it's out of Illinois. But it's the best Bloody Mary mix that's ever been made. But when I get ready to, before I put the ice in the glass, I rim the glass with Tony Sachery's, and then put the ice in and then pour the Bloody Mary into it. And that makes for a killer Bloody Mary. And it's even better with the tequila because it tastes like booze instead of something you'd clean a needle with. Now I'm going to get an email about why don't you like vodka. But no, we get Tony Sachery's.
Okay, well, no, because except for like ice cream and desserts, I just about put that on everything. And I'm kind of a garlic addict too, so.
Oh, no. Yeah, I've got to have that on everything too. I don't hardly cook without it, that or Cavenders.
Oh, by the way, a note just came in from our buddy, the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry, why aren't you in the Horn Molloy Skype chat group? He says that batter and deep fried salmon is, they do it up in Seattle. He says it's a local delicacy in Washington Street. I queried him as to whether it is tasty. I queried as to whether it's tasty, and he said, well, yeah, if you like greasy fish. That doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, but are they using frankenfish for it?
Well, the thing about that, you mentioning that I remember something Malloy had on the show a couple of days ago, just that he was talking, well, actually, a while back, but he had about, forgot the group, but they were basically saying that the fishing the ocean, and I'm sure this isn't coming to as a
I think you're breaking up, Jim.
I think we lost him.
May have.
He's still there.
No, Jim's still there. Okay.
No, but what I was saying was that we are out fishing the oceans, and it was something on Malloy, I don't know, 8-9 months ago, 10 months ago, whatever. It was a while back. But but anyway, the report said that the oceans are pretty much
done.
Fishing way beyond. Yeah. It's downright scary. And then when you take into consideration, okay, everybody would just eat meat. It takes 10 pounds of grain to make 1 pound of meat. And I'm not a vegetarian. I was a while back, and I think about going back to it, but once you pass that half-century mark, it's kind of hard to do that. You know, maybe I can channel my inner Dick Gregory and do that, but it's tough. Yeah. Just like that's why I'm having 2 pork chops tonight.
Hey, Devin, tell them what I'm having for night lunch after the program.
Well, that would be the expensive ramen with flavor boost packet.
Bingo! Spicy chicken flavor.
Is this the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Did I dial the wrong number?
We asked Bob Kincaid. He said he's having spicy chicken ramen with the flavor boost packet. It is indeed the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Well, you know, I thought we'd get us out of here once. I mean, every now and then I wonder.
Oh, by the way, in answer to the question, chatroom moderator Lottie has responded with an email that says, ask and ye shall receive, with a recipe on the internet for, yes, Devin, yes, chicken fried salmon. Apparently it was served in at the Sands restaurant in Dalhart, D-A-L-H-A-R-T, Dalhart, Texas. And a commenter notes that it was also served at the Cherry Creek Mall area in Denver, but doesn't anymore.
I wonder why.
Think about it. It's the entire internet, and Lottie, who is no slouch with a search engine, can only find one recipe for chicken fried salmon.
Well, before I forget, so back to the chicken fried lobster.
Yeah.
So that's a Bingen,
in Vegas.
Right.
Topazinian Steakhouse. And yes, it's chicken fried lobster, and yes, it is as beautiful and wonderful as it sounds.
Oh, you're really destroying my fancy ramen with the flavor boost packet for me.
Well, the problem I have with like crab legs and things like that, man, that's hard work to eat that stuff.
Oh yeah, those Alaskan king crab legs that Louis Gohmert of Texas is so concerned that food stamp people are filling their grocery carts with. You work your ass off for a snack.
That's hard work.
That's my problem with lobster too. It is too hard to eat.
But
that's why I like scallops.
Jameis Winston didn't think so. He tried to pick the crab legs.
Who was the shoplifter?
I know.
Jameis Winston, Florida State quarterback.
Oh, that's right.
I made gumbo for New Year's. I did gumbo, black-eyed peas and rice, and green for New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day rather. And let me tell you, we had our mallets. Well, not the mallets. We had the nutcrackers, and we had our little fork. And we went to work, and it was well worth every bit of effort. I guarantee you that.
I like how you say "I guarantee." It sounds like you might have listened to some Justin Wilson somewhere along the road.
he's good man.
I guarantee it.
My very favorite Justin Wilson story was the story of the two drunks walking home from the bar. One of them falls into an open grave, and his drunk buddy hears somebody in the cemetery hollering, "Help me, I'm cold." And the other drunk walks over and looks down at the other drunk down in the grave, and he says, "Of course you're cold. You done kick all the dirt off of you."
I like you. Two Irish guys were walking out to Detroit Road in Cleveland, which was a well-known Irish neighborhood, and they're going to a funeral for one of their buddies. So they're stopping along the way because there's a bar every couple of feet, and they're having a drink. By the time they get to the funeral home, they're really messed up. So one guy says, "What are we going to do?" He says, "Well, let's just go in, kneel down in front of the corpse, say a prayer, and get out of there." So these two guys kneel down. The next thing, one was cracking their heads together, the wife of the deceased. "Well, you," because the two Irish guys are laying there and saying, "Gee, I didn't know Pat had such white teeth." And they say, "Yeah, they're big, too." The woman comes over, cracks their heads together, and says, "Well, you two drunks go in front of the casket instead of the piano?"
Oh, no. Please, please, let's not devolve down this road.
You need a rim shot on that. You need a rim shot.
I have to say, a good one-liner you got to throw. I mean, a joke is a joke because of the alcohol, too.
Yeah, hold on.
Alcohol was a... I had to deal with this stuff 3 or 4 times a week, watching people just make complete fools out of themselves, but I was up there saying, the more you drink, the better we sound, so that's how you held your job, you know?
Well, I had to deal with it, too. I used to live in Las Vegas, but, probably I'll soon be back, or maybe I'll have to see what happens.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
we haven't been on an intellectual level tonight, but still, we've touched a...
Bill, it's Friday on the front porch. Everything is open for discussion.
Yeah,
sure. And thanks a million, Asa. Asa just sent me a YouTube link on how freeze-dried noodles wreck your digestive tract.
Oh, Jesus.
What would I do without you guys?
What do you do without friends like that, you know?
I've got a curiosity question. I have some ramen noodles a couple a week ago. And I'm just curious, are those made in Japan? Because then I'm worried about radiation.
No, I checked the packet. At least the ramen I'm buying is American-made.
Oh, Well, I tried, but it has like an American address, but excuse me for being a little bit conspiratorial with corporations and stuff, but it wouldn't surprise me if they just put that on there, you know, because you know, they don't have that many inspectors. Because, oh, that's another thing, killing the jobs programs. What was it, 600,000 federal employees cut? I think we could hire them and find things for them to do, you know, like inspect ramen noodles and other things.
I would be more concerned about the yellow cake number 5 that they put in there.
Is that what they're coloring the rice with?
I think so. Yeah, the yellow number 5, which wasn't there a thing about terrible health effects from that stuff?
Look, it's
that
all
you
got
put
terrible.
Out on horn site.
Yeah, it's all got terrible effects.
Yeah, well, none of that. Nobody gets out more dead. And this is the first time I've had yellow rice in a while. My mom fixed it, so yeah. I gotta eat.
I don't know if kids. I don't think kids in junior high and high school are still reading books like The Jungle. That was an.
Oh. That would make anybody turn into a vegan right away.
Well, you know, the people talk about chitlins and they make disparaging remarks. I helped an Italian restaurant owner make his homemade sausage. And I hate to tell you what they were putting the sausage meat into.
No, I've seen.
Yeah, you've seen it done, you know. So don't disparage anything that somebody else eats until you find out you're eating it too and don't even know it.
Well, but I've got a little side conversation going via text with the angry Indian who reminds me that he is of Gullah or Geechee ancestry. And of course that's
the Geechee brother coming up on that. Uh-oh.
And so he knows a little bit about some Syria and you know I was talking about the trip I got and anybody who ever gets there, it's in September. There's one day a year when Sapelo Island off the Georgia coast is opened up to tourist traffic, and it's actually a giant family reunion for the families, the former slave families that come back to Sapelo Island, and it's foodie heaven. It is. And I happened to get to go there, and I just had my mind plumb blown. Fish and grits, shrimp and grits, red rice, yellow rice. I had chitlins. I had the chitlins that the idea of chitlins. I had the platonic ideal of chitlins. I had ribs, you know, whole fish, batter fried. And there were these big vats of stuff. Oh my God. And then, you know, there was the sweet stuff. And at the same time, you wandered around and looked at the exhibits, and you saw things like manacles and ankle irons and wrist irons and various and sundry tools of the trade. And I will never, never, never forget the juxtaposition of that much horror with that much magnificence. And, of course, all of those things were things that the white folks didn't want to eat. You know, it's always the same. The poor folks have to make the best out of the crummiest cuts of food.
Yep.
And you know, coming from a Scots heritage, you know, let's take a sheep's stomach and stuff it with oats and chopped up lung and every...
No.
Make haggis.
You can't tell me that's good. You cannot tell me that haggis is good. If you say it's good, you're lying to me.
It's good.
You're lying.
If you say it's good, you start eating it early and at home. And it seems to me when mom cooks something, it's always good, regardless of what it is, you know?
Oh, by the way, Tracy, the angry Indian, says, hey from the Geechee brother.
Hey, baby. But speaking of Geechee, I remember the first time I went to down to that part of the country. I went to Hilton Head with a white guy who owned a condo, part of the country club set.
Yeah,
Don't judge. It was in a different life and a different time, and maybe one day I'll tell you what I was doing down there, but you'll have to do that off air because I don't want that on being recorded. But anyway, I never remember the first time I had shrimp and grits. Because I was, you know, I grew up here, so I'm thinking I know what a grit is. No. Mm-hmm. I was embarrassed. I was.
So do y'all know what's going on in New Orleans right now?
By what my idea of what a grit is was to what I had actually had grit. And I put my head down and shame. I was embarrassed.
Oh, no, grits is not what comes out of that little Quaker box that boils up in a minute and you can fix in a microwave.
Give me some credit that I, you know, I'm sorry, no, Albert's grits, no, I would never, my family is from the South. Bob, how dare you even say Quaker and grit in the same sentence with me on the phone? If I was anywhere near you, I'd slap you. At least I actually cooked my grits. But I had never had grits that you had to cook for like 30 minutes.
Oh, well, I tell you what, now you're a foodie, Tracy, and I've mentioned this before in the past. It ain't cheap, but if you want the real live honest to Jesus grits experience, Google Anson Mills.
Oh, I have them. I bought them.
Oh, you've got you some. Yeah, cuz you don't just cook them forever. You got to soak them. You got to rinse them.
Soak them.
You got to work with, and you get, and it is a whole nother story.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to put you guys on mute again. I'm at the bank, so I'll be right back.
All right, sounds good.
Bob, try to find maple syrup in this goddamn country anymore.
You know what? One of the most beautiful things that my friends up in northern Wisconsin are doing right now is they're trying to get something that they're calling Pinocchio Gold to take hold as a means of proving that there is sustainability potential in northern Wisconsin that no dumbass iron mine can ever touch. And they are maple sugaring for all their worth up there. I've been watching pictures on Facebook. It is beautiful to behold. And you know, you mentioned maple syrup, Bill. That kind of stuff is important.
All I can get is Canadian for about $8 and a bottle. It looks like a bottle of cheap wine, the size of the bottle. You know, it's like a.
Yeah. It's kind of.
We used to call it short dog. They call those. Yeah.
I ran the audio of that documentary to Wisconsin with Love by the documentary film students at Eastern Mennonite University a week or so ago, and there's a segment in there where a buddy of mine named Nick goes and shows how they tap a sugar tree. And, wow. Just, oh, my God.
When I was under 10 years old, Jogger County had more maple syrup available. And, of course, the builders go out there, build those $250,000 homes for the wannabes, and just tear up everything on the way doing it. Just destroy everything in their way. And people buy them with a happy smile on their face until they lose their job and the house gets repossessed, you know. I'm a sick son of a, I'm sorry, you know, but I am. But that's just the way it is.
You know, you're too real. Often. You're real.
Yeah, thank you.
Unfortunately. I hate to admit it, but that seems the way things are going and probably have been going long before I was born.
Yep. They did it in every field. A buddy of mine was in on the cell phone business 30 years ago, and he was well paid. They came along and they got rid of him and hired two kids for $25,000 each, and took the other $25,000 that the guy was making $75,000 a year, and the boss takes that, the department head, and puts it in his retirement account. Wonderful people.
Oh, well, let's all break into a couple of verses of Ain't That America. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You got it. You know, and this is what has you has a lot of us going is we don't like it. Maybe I saw too much, and of course now they're back in Cleveland. You can now once again raise chickens.
one of my first memories. Now, this was, I was born in the middle of the war, so by 47 or 48, I remember growing, waking up to hearing roosters crowing because people were, during the war, people were raising chickens in the city.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My mother left me some ration tickets, which I hope didn't get lost in the moving. But that was still, you know.
Hey, dig this. Just got a note in. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My sister still got hers, Bill. She was born in 43.
Yeah.
You know.
Got her name on it. And
you know what upsets me? You know, I complain a lot. But you know what upsets me? It's like I'm looking at all this stuff happening in our culture, and it looks like things. It seems that things are getting going out of control, and that I'm not going to be able to. That all these changes are happening, and that there's very little that I'm going to be able to do about it.
Yeah,
and we have this discussion with Jason. He's concerned about what's happening with the environment. And, you know, we're talking about, the problems of people who don't have a lot of money and the economy. It just seems like the life has taken on a path of its own, and there's very little that anyone can really do about it or can alter it, can alter the flow of what's going on. That's what's really upsetting.
They want to take us back. They want to take us back to before the New Deal. That's what they really want to go back to, the Koch brothers. And of course, their father got cheated by Stalin when he was trying to teach Stalin how to run the oil business in Russia.
You know, and the only advice I've been given is that I can't change stuff on my own, but so I should just, try to enjoy life and just accept whatever is happening in life and not allow myself to get anxious about it.
That's the mantra of fascism, Larry. Because fascist societies are very easy to live in. You keep your head down, you focus on what you're told to focus on. You entertain yourself to death, and nobody ever bothers you. So yeah, that's how that works. Hey, I want to share an email coming in from Steve in China. I just love saying Steve in China. It's kind of like saying our buddy Horst in Taiwan. You know, it's cool. Steve in China says crawfish, otherwise known as crawdaddies, and Jim, I'm reckoning this will resonate some with you. Crawfish, a huge pile of boiled ones laid out on the newspaper they were wrapped in, generously doused with Tabasco, right there on the front steps, sunshine and all. That's heaven. That's New Orleans. And not to spoil the mood, some of what we're all going to lose if the fossil fuel monsters have their way. And see, that, thank you, Steve. And that's one of those things I was thinking about as I was watching the flames billow out of that goddamn bomb train in Lynchburg, Virginia. Three of the tankers were in the James River. Lynchburg shut down its public water intake. Richmond had to shift to a public water intake on a canal instead of in the James. And all that conservative, free market, toxic, poisonous profit is at present floating in a plume downstream toward the Chesapeake Bay. Thanks, Koch brothers. Thanks.
No, you yell out Wolverine. That's when you yell out Wolverine.
Yeah, stand by.
Wolverines!
This is in Virginia right now where they're having the floods.
Yeah, there was a bomb train exploded there 2 days ago, Larry.
The tracks collapsed, Larry.
Yeah, well, I have an
acquaintance.
Yeah, they showed. I've seen some pictures of, Montpelier and, the rural area right outside of Richmond, and there was a flood. It's really flooding.
When the ground disappears real quick from underneath the railroad tracks, things happen when a train's going over it.
Yep.
Yeah, and it can happen anywhere.
Yep.
I mean, you consider the odds. Consider the options for awful things to happen in a space as broad as from the Bakken shale fields of North Dakota all the way to the Virginia coast.
Bob, I was in adulthood when the railroads started giving up the freight lines and they tried to pass them over to the government. You know? And they wanted to get rid of railroads. They didn't. Well, now all of a sudden they want to run them like crazy again, but they don't want to spend any freaking money on making sure they're in good condition.
Well, there's kind of a war in the instance of the bomb trains. I'm finding out more and more the more I read and the more I research. There's kind of a rather deep dispute between A, the Bakken, and remember. The Bakken crude is accessed the same way that Marcellus shale gas is accessed. This is the entirety of North Dakota is being hydrofracked, or not the entirety, but the entirety of that Bakken crude area is being hydrofracked. It's the same process. The oil companies want to get that stuff to market as soon as possible because money. The rail lines have to carry the stuff because they are common carriers.
Yep.
The rail companies are unhappy about the cars because the rail companies don't own the cars. And the cars are fundamentally unsafe. And meanwhile, the union workers for the railroads are hollering bullshit because these things are inherently unsafe.
Well, I heard something about a Canadian. I can pick up CKLW out of Windsor, which used to be one of the best rock and roll stations in the world in the 60s. And they were talking that the Canadians are going to take a hard, long look at their cars. The real cars are getting old, and you know, if I believe Canada has nationalized railroads, isn't that?
I'm not sure. No, there are individual Canadian. Well, I don't know. I'm out of my element.
The bomb trains are running everywhere. I see them go through our town.
Really?
I miss that.
Really?
Wonder where they're coming from toward you.
They're going south. The only time I see them, they're going south.
What? So maybe a refinery in SoCal?
Or the Bay Area.
Oh, hell yeah, sure, the Chevron refinery at Richmond.
Yeah. But Bob, Timmy wants to know what a bomb train is. Can you explain that?
Sure. A bomb train is usually about 100 cars long. They are tanker trains carrying Bakken shale crude oil, which at about 41% volatility is more than twice as volatile as gasoline, and they have shown a real predilection for blowing up. They've blown up in Lac-Mégantic, Quebec. They blew up. One blew up in Castleton, North Dakota. Another one blew up in Pickens County, Alabama. Another one blew up in Lynchburg, Virginia, and there have been more than that. And each bomb train carries about 3 million gallons of this highly volatile crude oil. Because it's not the same as crude oil like you and I think of crude oil. This stuff gets sloshed around, vaporizes, and blows to Mars.
Trains here, Bob, come right through the center of our little town. I go to the CVS is when I see them.
Well, I tell you what.
The train track is right behind the CVS.
Well, you know what all this stuff means, Sparky. Watch one of those things going through town one of these days. They probably can't just go through at a great clip. And just pull the number.
No, they slow down.
Just get the hazmat number off the train. I mean, these things are discernible. And
they're going through about 25 to 30 miles an hour.
Did they use the same tracks as Amtrak?
Yeah. Same line that runs north-south in California here.
The same line that this bomb train that blew up in Lynchburg, Larry, was running on is the same line that Amtrak runs on between D.C. and Chicago. I've ridden it. And by the way, it is an awful ride. I mean, just beats you to pieces because the freight trains have absolutely destroyed the rails.
Would that have been the old B&O line?
No, it's the C&O, Bill. CSX, Chessie, Chesapeake and Ohio.
Yep.
I get on here at either Prince, West Virginia, or Thurmond, West Virginia, which is just a little, I mean, it's just a little, they just stop. I mean, you can't even carry a bunch of luggage with you because they just won't. But I get on there, and it was supposed to be a 14-hour trip, and it wound up taking 22.
Because I hated planes so much. If I was going to go across country, I always wanted to do it on the train, especially going through the mountains and taking a good look around at what you're seeing. It's amazing, you know, from what I've seen in movies of it. You really get a view of a lot of beauty.
Oh, yeah, you do. I mean, this particular train, it's kind of why it's impacted me. This latest explosion caught my attention. Like I said, mere hours before this thing blew up in Lynchburg, it was traveling through the heart of the New River Gorge National Park, just not even 5 miles from me.
Well, and it's simple form. It's the fact that you have to reinvest in your business, and the bastards don't want to reinvest. They want to take with both hands.
Yeah. How often do you see the rail inspection trucks back there, Bob?
Once in a very great while.
Because the Union Pacific out here, or whatever owns the line, I see them all the time running up and down the track.
By the way, let me just toss this out there for consideration. You know, on any given night, we try to raise $150 to keep the Horn afloat. It is 14 minutes before 9 p.m. here on the East Coast, 14 minutes to go in the program. Sal was in there like Sal always is, getting us started. And he has had no help whatsoever. So help is deeply appreciated. There's no challenge on the table tonight. Sorry.
There is a challenge.
There's a challenge, Tracy?
Yes. I was just thinking to see how much of a challenge I could do. So, yes, $50 challenge.
Okay. So Tracy just offered to double the next $50 that come in.
Okay.
So your five becomes 10. Tracy will turn your 10 into 20. She'll turn your 25 into 50, up to the first 50 bucks that come in, so that we can stay out of the hole here on the second day of May. Second day of May is a hell of a time to get into a hole, isn't it?
Yeah, but you already used my May hole extinguisher.
Yeah. There's no pulling the pin. There's no pulling the pin this May.
I'm going to leave.
Oh, we're coming up on the Kent State thing, aren't we, and the Jackson State thing again.
Yeah, and coming up on Monday on Cinco de Mayo, which used to be a kind of proletarian holiday and has now been turned into a reason to go to Chili's and drink bad margaritas.
Or as you walk in the grocery store, as I did yesterday, and Corona, big mountain of Corona stacked.
Can I just say something? I hate Corona. I do. I hate Corona.
Yeah, but when it's on sale, I had to buy some.
You know, oh sure. No, my
buddy and my dad's come over the other day and left a Corona in his beer refrigerator, and then my sister got it out and gave it to my dad, and I said, "That was Terry's Corona. You're not supposed to give him that." So I had to replace that Corona in my dad's beer refrigerator. It's a friend of his who comes over and visits.
Well, my favorites are the Dos Equis Lager.
Dos Equis and
Lead?
No, the Golden Lager. And the other one, and I have a hard time finding it. I can't remember the brand name, but it comes from Cervecería Cuauhtémoc. And, of course, Cuauhtémoc was the last revered speaker of the Mexica people, so I go, yeah, I'll drink that. I'm a victim of marketing.
Bob, I'm trying to reach out to some people on with the AIC Act. So if whenever you have a chance to chat at some point when it's comfortable, please let me know.
Absolutely will. I absolutely will.
By the way, I'm sorry, Bob. I forgot to mention to you that I actually spoke about the AIC Act at our Earth Day celebration at my church.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I have 5 whole minutes.
Well, we need all the help we can get because we're down to operating the AIC Act on fumes. And if we don't get something happening with some grants and stuff pretty soon,
Well, I called both senators and my congresswoman about the AIC Act this week.
Florida-wise or elsewhere?
Florida.
Okay, okay. Because, you know, we're going to be reaching, I'm heading back end of next week, week from Sunday. And we're actually going to be reaching out to some Republican senators. And
You might try Bill House. I don't know about Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I called her office and left a message.
Yeah, why she hasn't signed on is beyond me. But we've actually been in Bill Nelson's office before. Maybe it's time to go back. Hey, I want to put some thanks out there. I'm not sure if it's okay for me to name names, but Tracy's challenge has just been met. It has been met and doubled.
Ooh.
It's been met and doubled. So thank you very much. That means we, between this individual and Tracy's challenge and Sal, we have made this evening's fundraising goal. Thank you also to Asa, who took us further into it as well. Because, you know, if we get a few dollars ahead, that actually helps a lot for the lean days. And they happen. They really, really do. Okay, we got 9 minutes left in the program. Anybody want to jump in with anything else? I don't want anybody leaving without
saying. Yeah, I wanted to say that in Detroit tonight, there's a group that's starting a new party. It's called the After Party. And Peter B. Interviewed one of the organizers, but they're trying to develop a third party based upon left-wing populist principles, and it's happening in Detroit right now. So, okay,
cool.
Thank you.
All right. And Jim, a few minutes ago, you were asking, do you know what's happening in New Orleans?
Oh, what I was going to say is. The Jazz Fest.
Oh.
Talk about food porn and music porn.
Oh, man.
What happened? What am I hearing? I didn't hear it all. What happened?
Yeah, it's Jazz Fest in New Orleans right now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the tickets, I'm old enough to remember when the tickets were $10.
Every year, 50, I keep saying one year I'm going to spend $75. I'm sorry. Because that's his thing.
It's still good time.
I'm really into jazz. And I keep saying one year for his birthday, I'm going to send him.
I'd love to get down there. Yeah, I just want to get back down to the Shoals some late July for the WC Handy Music Festival. That's a hell of a good time. It's as compared to something like the New Orleans Jazz Festival, it's pretty low key, but it's a lot of fun. A whole lot.
Where those guys at that studio, Bob, they kicked a lot of ass. I'm telling you.
Oh, yes, they did. You know,
played behind everybody. I mean, that horn, those Memphis horns playing behind people like Albert King, my God, they were great.
Well, and the Swampers on every Bob Seger album, Aretha Franklin's first hit, came out of Muscle Shoals.
Who was Seger's sax player? The guy had a great sound. I used to know his name, and I'm getting to see now. I forget everything, you know.
Not sure who you're talking about.
He's on the opening to, when the thing about coming off the road to go eat someplace or something like that, it's a weird, because Seeger, I always wanted to do Fire Down Below. I tried working on that sucker and I couldn't get the band to play it the way I wanted to hear it, so, you know. We were straying way far away from the original Chicago blues thing as time went on. I mean, you got 40 years and you're going to move, you know. The music's going to change and be...
Well, if you don't, you go stagnant.
You ever have...
Well, for instance, we were doing work song, you know, and...
Actually,
I love the guy's work, but I can't find any. I don't know how to order stuff off the net good. There's a record store in California or in the Bay Area that has great stuff.
You're talking about Amoeba? Or Rasputin's? Amoeba Records? Or Rasputin's?
Well, I don't know who has Adderley's stuff on it, because he used to be on a bigger label, you know, like this here, and, Nat Adderley was one of the writers of Work Song, him and, Oscar Brown Jr.
Yeah. can't remember what label Oscar Brown Jr. was on. Okay.
Well, anyway,
refineries. I'm driving past the Chevron refinery over here in Manhattan Beach and giving him the finger.
At a girl, Tracy. And by the way, your challenge has now been tripled. So thank you very much, Tracy. Thank you very much.
It's so, you know, I give what I can give, and that's why I'm like, okay, hold on, you guys, I'll be right back. I'm going to the bank. What's cleared and what hadn't.
Tracy got it started. It was Sal got it started, followed by Tracy's challenge, followed by an anonymous contributor. I want to make sure I can give names out before I do. That was followed by Asa, followed by Thomas, and followed by Robert from Australia. So it's just wonderful. Thank you very much.
Oh, and another thing about this refinery, I'm sorry, but there's a train that goes right into the refinery. Holy, you know, it's so funny.
Yeah.
I drive past here all the time. Going.
Well, just remember, Tracy, I don't know if that Bakken crude's going down there, but, dude, please remember, this stuff is twice as volatile as gasoline, and it is illegal to ship gasoline by rail.
Okay, so wait. If it's more volatile than gasoline, and it's illegal to ship gasoline via the rail, okay, never mind. I forget that I have to...
Because money.
Logic.
Catch 22.
Yeah, because they can get away with it, that's why.
Because money.
We got those freaking tanker cars all the way down here in Florida, too.
Well, I mean, not all tank cars are necessarily evil. You have to read the...
it's the same damn ones. You look at them, they're those...
Dot 111, and there'll be a placard for crude oil on it.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here. Let's see. Quick answer for Bill coming from Mark on Bob Seger's sax player. Let me see if I can get this in time so that we can get out of here on time, and I'm not stepping on Rick Smith. Oh, by the way, while I'm waiting for this thing to load, I'm just seeing this breaking from CNN, a CNN exclusive, and oddly enough, it hasn't a damn thing to do with the missing jetliner. This is all the headline
what?
I got. I know. Get this, though. CNN exclusive, a meat plant, because we were talking about this earlier, a meat plant knowingly processed diseased cows, feds say, leading to recall of 9 million pounds of meat.
Yummy!
And by the way, it was Alto Reed. Alto Reed, according to Yes Magazine, Bill.
That was the name he was using, because he played, I think it was Alto he was playing.
Okay, so thanks, everybody. We got to get out of here. Thanks to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Thank you to Bill and Tracy and Kevin and Jim. In the traditional telephone circuits. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Thanks, everybody, for making this a successful week going toward all of our various bill paying. It is much appreciated. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox in Australia, who is really busting his butt on what I think is going to be a super-duper project. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. It's been wonderful not to be all buffered up this evening. They took last Friday off, and they took this Friday off. Go figure. We'll be back Monday with more and Monday. Thanks go out always to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHECT.org, ACHECT.org. And always, 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 Gina. Oh, well, it's all for you. Music didn't work. Again, have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Here comes Rick Smith. Bye now.